96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, we do have the economic stats from the fourth quarter in the United States. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. economy grew at a solid 2.9% annual rate last quarter, but entered this year with less momentum as rising interest rates and still high inflation weighed on demand. U.S. growth in the fourth quarter was down slightly from a 3.2% annualized rate in the third quarter, according to the Commerce Department. Consumer spending helped drive the fourth quarter gain. Obviously, it's holiday season. A lot of people are out there spending. The housing market did weaken. Businesses cut back their spending on equipment as well, presumably in expectation that things are about to get very slow in the American economy. The October to December period capped a year of economic slowdown with growth of 1% in the fourth quarter of 2022 compared with the year earlier and down sharply from the 5.7% growth in 2021. So we are certainly sliding into something. Many people are saying that recession is about to happen. The slowdown in part reflected a return to a more normal pace of growth after output surged amid business reopenings, fiscal stimulus, and a waning pandemic in 2021. So as inflation begins to wane, and as those interest rates increase, the economy is going to go into a certain level of stagnation. It may be recession followed by stagnation, or it just may be plain stagnation. Whatever it is, the future of the American economy for at least the next couple of years is not going to be particularly strong. According to Kathy Bostjancic, the chief economist at Nationwide, outside of the labor market, we're really seeing a broad-based slowing in economic activity. It's not going to be a soft landing. Now, many people in the media are, of course, trying to pitch the idea that a soft landing is imminent. A soft landing would be where the Federal Reserve somehow achieved the signal feat of increasing the interest rates to slow inflation without the country actually sliding into full-on economic recession. And so some excuse is going to have to be come up with if recession does in fact hit. And again, recession looks like it is on the way. According to the Wall Street Journal, there have now been severe corporate layoffs beyond high growth tech giants. Dow, International Business Machine Corporation, SAP, SE, joined the string of companies outlining plans to cut thousands of jobs to prepare for a darkening economic outlook, even as the nation's labor market remains tight. The headline-grabbing expansion of layoffs beyond high-growth tech companies stands in contrast to historically low levels of jobless claims and news that places like Chipotle and Airbus are adding jobs. That makes sense, again, that Chipotle and Airbus are adding jobs as people go back into the marketplace, as they begin to spend again on things like restaurants. You'd imagine that Chipotle is going to hire up. And again, people were not traveling, and now they are traveling, and so a lot of people got laid off, and now they're going to be put back into the travel market again. But overall, the economy is certainly slowing. And there was a lot of talk that maybe this was going to be restricted to the tech stocks, specifically because when you have a lot of money that's sort of in circulation, a lot of that money ends up going to the more high-return areas of the economy, namely tech. When the money comes out of the economy, that is the place where the tide rushes out the fastest. However, it's now bleeding over into sort of more mainstream industrial industries. This week, four companies trimmed more than 10,000 jobs. Still, the decisions mark a shift in sentiments inside executive suites, where many leaders have been holding on to workers after struggling to hire and retain them in recent years when the pandemic disrupted workplaces. Unlike Microsoft and Alphabet, which announced larger layoffs this month, these companies haven't expanded their workforces dramatically during the pandemic. Instead, the leaders of these global giants said they were shrinking to adjust to slowing growth or responding to weaker demand for their products. So this is obviously the beginning of something that looks like a serious economic slowdown. Recession fears are growing, according to the Washington Post. Despite the U.S. economy growing overall in 2022 at 2.1%, that was wildly outpaced by inflation, and the recession fears continue. They say that the figure was a cool down over the last quarter, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The latest figures point to a resilient but slowing economy that has been tempered by the Federal Reserve's aggressive efforts to control inflation. Although economic growth in the most recent quarter came in stronger than many had expected, analysts say it will have little impact on the Fed's next move. So this means, again, that somebody has to come up with a plan. The plan is going to be to blame Republicans. This plan is going to be largely reliant on the debt ceiling fight. So the timing is coincidental, obviously. We're about to hit the debt ceiling in the next couple of weeks. That does not mean that the United States government will shut down. We have enough runway that the government will continue to run at current run rate for the next several months until things would actually start to go offline, until the national parks, if Barack Obama were president, but it is a Biden, so he'll try to do the same sort of thing. The national parks would close or something like that. You'd still get your Social Security check. You'd still get your Medicare. All that stuff would still end up being processed because there are still mandatory checks that would go out under American law. With that said, the debt ceiling fight is now going to be blamed if the economy goes south. So Republicans had better be very careful here. When the Democrats were in charge of all three branches of the elected government, when they ran the House, the Senate, and the presidency, when the economy goes into the tank, it's Democrats who get blamed. When Republicans are in charge of the House, the media look for somebody else to blame, and that's precisely what is happening right here. That is what is going to happen over the debt ceiling. CNN's Christine Romans, who is a business reporter for CNN, she, again, is starting to lead off this narrative. Watch for it. It's going to be the popular narrative in the Democratic left circles. In the media, the narrative is going to be that a soft landing was about to happen, and then the Republicans took over Congress, and lo and behold, the economy slowed. Now, it's not true. We've been seeing the economy slowing significantly over the course of the last year. We've seen the inflation rates running out of control. That was all Democratic policymaking plus the Federal Reserve. However, Democrats will use any convenient excuse that they can. The convenient excuse now is that Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans just took over the House. Here is CNN's Christine Romans doing this routine.
How does this data support that?
This data fits right in with that picture, quite honestly. I mean, this shows you that the economy is strong but slowing a little bit from the quarter before. Shows the job market is still strong. Maybe, I'm guessing early this year it's going to start to show less strength than it used to, and that's what the Fed wants to see.
Right, that's what we want.
But I think, I mean, what I've been getting from my sources all morning is this all feeds into the soft landing camp. The most recent data all fits in the camp of people who think a soft landing is possible if Washington doesn't screw it up with the debt ceiling.
Notice that last part, right? That's the last part that matters, right? If Washington doesn't screw up with the debt ceiling, but they'll probably screw up with the debt ceiling, and then we can blame all of the Republicans for what is obviously bad economic policy on the part of the Democrats. Right? We had this thing handled, and then in came Kevin McCarthy and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they ruined everything. And so you're going to see the media play up the debt ceiling debate to extraordinary heights. They're going to claim, they always claim whenever there's a government shutdown that the end of the world is nigh. It never is. There's never a zombie apocalypse with the dead wandering the streets trying to eat brains or anything like that. Everything seems to sort of work normally, at least for a pretty significant period of time. But this is going to be a completely different thing. It's not just going to be that the zombie apocalypse is about to arrive. The economic catastrophe is going to be the fault of the Republicans for not increasing the debt ceiling if they don't do so in time. You can see Politico setting up this narrative as well. They have an entire piece by Adam Cankren and Eugene Daniels titled, "Veterans of the Obama Era Debt Ceiling Standoff on the Current One. We may be doomed." Quote, "The last time the U.S. found itself on the verge of a debt ceiling disaster, David Kamen had a front row seat to all the action. An economic advisor in the Obama White House, Kamen was among those charged with solving the 2011 standoff that rattled global markets, dented the economy, and led to an embarrassing downgrade of America's credit rating. The government narrowly averted a catastrophic default that year, striking a deal with just days to spare. But more than a decade later, with the nation deadlocked again over the debt ceiling, he fears the outcome this time could be far worse. Ah, the doom-mongering, the scare-mongering. We're all going to die. The economy is going to collapse, and it's going to be the fault of these guys who've been in power for approximately 32 seconds. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, when did we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? Well, what's happening right now at the big tech companies is that very often they prevent you from seeing what you want to see, and then they take your data and they make money off of you. Why would you give your data to them so they can make money off of you and then restrict what you can see and hear? It's just one reason why I have been using ExpressVPN for years to protect my own data. If you ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, and everything you click on. By building a profile on you and then selling off your sensitive data, that's how they make their money. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, the software hides your IP address from third parties. That makes your activity more difficult for companies to trace and sell to advertisers. It helps keep your online presence more anonymous. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN is rated number one by TechRadar. So, stop allowing big tech to revoke your right to free speech and then make money off of you. Instead, secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get started. Kamen said, there's a potential for it to be very bad. By the way, this is, I love that they're quoting a top Biden staffer because this guy did act as a top Biden economic staffer before returning to academia last year. So they're literally just quoting spokespeople for the Biden administration to the effect that if things go south, it's the Republicans' fault. quote, we're back here. There's a real risk to the economy on the line. Kamen isn't the only one struck by a foreboding sense of deja vu. From the White House to Wall Street, a growing number of veterans of the 2011 debt crisis are again watching a story of bluster and brinksmanship play out and are terrified this will be the time it ends, with the country in financial ruin. David Vandeveer, who was a senior Treasury official during the 2011 negotiations and, of course, an Obama staffer, says, quote, it feels like there's a desire to get closer and closer to the brink. At a certain point, you don't know where the line is. The parallels to the Obama-era stalemate are clear, as House Republican leaders vow to place restraints on a Democratic administration while also trying to manage their troublesome conservative wing. But unlike in 2011, Republicans are preparing to stare down the White House with no clear consensus on what they want in exchange for keeping the U.S. financial system afloat. Now, again, that is a tremendous rewriting of history. If you remember back to 2010, 2011, when we did this debt ceiling debate, the Republicans didn't know what they wanted, the Democrats didn't know what they wanted, and that is why they came up with sequestration. Sequestration was a deal between Republicans and Democrats that would essentially kick in essentially 1 year from the date of the deal that was made. And it said, we will try to find some erstwhile deals, cut spending here and cut spending there. And if that doesn't happen, cuts of a particular size will go into place and half of them will come from defense. And the idea there from Obama was the cuts will never go into place because Republicans will not want to cut defense. And the idea from Republicans was the cuts will never go into place because Obama doesn't want to cut. And instead, you had essentially a prisoner's dilemma in which both sides defaulted. And what you ended up with was sequestration, a massive cut to military spending, and a cut to the future rate of growth of other sorts of spending. So it wasn't as though things were like amazingly well negotiated in 2010, 2011. This time around, obviously, Kevin McCarthy dealing with a very fractious caucus, he has not yet come out with some sort of full list of the things he wants restructured. Some of the Republicans are saying that they want full-on entitlement restructuring. They want restructuring of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. That is not going to happen. You have a Democrat-controlled Senate. You have a Democrat president. It's not going to happen. Pick 10 things you guys think should get cut, 10 things the American people agree with you on, and then go after those 10 things. If you go for entitlement reform with a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president, that's political malpractice. I agree with you. It needs to be done. Also, it is running directly into a chainsaw. It is political malfeasance. However, again, the media are going to play this up because the worse this gets, the more they're going to be able to blame Republicans going into 2024. Dan Pfeiffer, a senior Obama aide during the 2011 showdown, said that of his entire time in the administration, he was never more scared than in the final days of the debt ceiling fight because it was very possible we were going over the cliff. And he says, the similarities to now are obvious. A Democratic president unsure if the leader of the opposing party has the clout to get his conference on the same page. The White House at the time felt Boehner understood and took seriously the dangers of default. Pfeiffer says, Boehner may have been willing to put more of his ass on the line. He did intellectually and substantively understand why default was terrible. I'm not sure McCarthy understands that, that McCarthy cares, that McCarthy would value the full faith and credit of the United States over his own job. Now remember, this is all revisionist history. They hated John Boehner at the time. They were saying the exact same crap about John Boehner. This is the mode of the left. The mode of the left is, the last Republican was amazing. The new guy, man, he's scary. He's super bad. And this is true in presidential politics. It's true in speakers of the House. It's true in former senators. All of them are horrible up until the point they leave office, at which point they become amazing in comparison with the current guy. The current guy is just the worst. Okay, so realistically speaking, some deal will get cut when it comes to the debt ceiling. And Republicans should look for a deal to cut when it comes to the debt ceiling. I say this again, not because I want the increase in debt. I don't. It is because you're not going to get what you want with this political alignment as it currently is. And what you are going to do is you're going to hand an argument to the Democrats that a bad economy is not their fault, despite the fact that they control the elected branches of government except for the House. That it's instead the fault of these fractious Republicans who wanted to restructure entitlements, which you don't even want in the first place. So I am pleased to see that at the very least, Senator Joe Manchin is meeting with Speaker McCarthy to urge the House Republican leader to negotiate with Biden. Not because I'm on Manchin's side, but because if any deal is going to get cut here, Manchin's going to have to be a part of it. Democrats right now control the Senate. That means that if you are going to cut some sort of deal with the Senate to get past the debt ceiling, what you're going to have to do is go to Manchin and Sinema, presumably, and have them pressure the rest of the left to accept some sort of concessions. A source familiar with the meeting said Manchin encouraged McCarthy to negotiate with Biden to find a path forward that would avoid harming the American people. The source described the interaction as good and said no commitments were made. Manchin on Sunday called on the White House to negotiate with House Republicans over raising the debt limit, arguing it would be a mistake to expect Congress to authorize new federal borrowing authority without bipartisan talks. And Manchin is exactly right on this. By the way, this is also politically savvy by Manchin. He signed off on the bottom line of that giant boondoggle $1.7 trillion bill at the end of last year. Now he's going to have to run for re-election in West Virginia, a super Republican state, as a Democrat. Manchin said on State of the Union, on CNN, quote, we have to negotiate. This is the democracy we have. We have a two-party system. We should be able to talk and find out what our differences are. This happens to be correct. So going to Manchin and having him broker something here would probably be the smartest political move. And it's fun. I understand it's fun for a lot of people in the commentary to talk about stand on principle, shut down the government. I'm just telling you, the predictable result of this is going to be that Democrats will vote with some Republicans to raise the debt ceiling, and then Joe Biden will blame all Republicans for the failure of the economy. This is what they are planning to do. I mean, Joe Biden is being obvious about this. I mean, Joe Biden is he's saying this openly. Giving Democrats what they want is usually a bad strategy. According to the New York Times, quote, Biden hammers Republicans on the economy with eye on 2024. The president has found a welcome foil in a new conservative House majority and its tax and spending plans, sharpening a potential reelection message. Biden on Thursday assailed House Republicans over their tax and spending plans, including potential changes to popular retirement programs ahead of what is likely to be a run for reelection. By the way, if you want to talk about the political genius of Donald Trump, this actually was one area where Trump understood the tea leaves better than a lot of Republican leaders. Republican leaders, quite properly, are focused on the problem of entitlements. Donald Trump was like, I'm not dealing with that. He said, I understand the American people. They say they want to lower spending, but they don't actually want to restructure entitlements, so I'm just not going to touch it. He happens to be politically correct about that. Not PC politically correct. He happens to be right on the merits that the politics of touching entitlements are very scary for Republicans. And the problem for Trump, obviously, is that once he was president, he should have used that power in order to restructure entitlements. But when he was running for president, it made a lot of sense not to actually talk about restructuring entitlements. Americans don't like to hear about that sort of stuff. In a speech in Springfield, Virginia, Biden sought to reframe the economic narrative away from the rapid price increases that have dogged much of his first 2 years in office and toward his stewardship of an economy that has churned out steady growth and strong job gains. Biden said, quote, at the time I was sworn in, the pandemic was raging and the economy was reeling. And then he talks about how much money he spent and how he is building the economy again. Now, the economy is going to a weak place, which means that Republicans have a lot to run on come 2024. Stagnation is going to set in. The inflation rate, despite all of the happy talk, is still riding at well above 6% at this point. So it's not as though things have gone back to normal. And it's not as though even when they do go back to normal, we're going to have a booming economy. So Republicans will be able to run against Biden on the economy. Unless they hand him a bat to hit them with. We'll get some more on this in just 1 second. First, when did we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? Well, what's happening right now at the big tech companies is that very often they prevent you from seeing what you want to see, and then they take your data and they make money off of you. Why would you give your data to them so they can make money off of you and then restrict what you can see and hear? It's just one reason why I have been using ExpressVPN for years to protect my own data. If you ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, and everything you click on. By building a profile on you, and then selling off your sensitive data, that's how they make their money. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, the software hides your IP address from third parties. That makes your activity more difficult for companies to trace and sell to advertisers. It helps keep your online presence more anonymous. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN is rated number one by TechRadar. So, stop allowing big tech to revoke your right to free speech and then make money off of you. Instead, secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get started. Alrighty, coming up, Donald Trump has been readmitted to Facebook. The Democrats, the media, they are reacting by cry cheering. I will explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite. Satellite for your internet installation today. 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite. 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today. 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite 241-3474.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, open 2:30 to 6 p.m. at 2051 Hilltop, Suite A3, offers a unique halo therapy experience to immerse yourself in salt. It can help with stress, anxiety, athletic performance, respiratory issues, snoring, long-haul COVID, help restore taste and smell. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave offers take-home salt packs for bloating, inflammation, and anxiety, salt lamps with color therapy, and gift certificates. Book now, 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094.
Lifeline Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Biden says that he is going to attack Republicans on curbing safety net spending and risking a government default by refusing to raise the federal borrowing limit without deep spending cuts. Why, he asked, would Americans give up the progress we've made for the chaos they are suggesting? He said, I will not let anyone use the full faith and credit of the United States as a bargaining chip, which is, of course, hilarious. The whole point that Republicans are making is that the future of the full faith and credit of the United States is reliant on us not having a $31 trillion national debt. By the way, it ain't going to be $31 trillion for long. We'll be at $40 trillion pretty soon. Our debt-to-GDP ratio will be extraordinary. We'll spend a significant chunk of the American budget every single year from here till the end of time paying off our national debt, just on the debt servicing. So when he says that he's for fiscal sanity, of course that's not true. But he does have the entire media on his side. And if Republicans shut this thing down without any hope of an actual victory, it's going to be a fairly large-scale mistake. Now, meanwhile, Democrats are reacting, I would say, rather interestingly to Donald Trump's reinstatement on Facebook. They're doing something that I would call cry cheering. By cry cheering, what I mean is they're pretending that they're very upset about it, but they're actually super happy about it. The reason they're cry cheering about it is because when they look at the polls, what they see is that Donald Trump runs fairly even with Joe Biden. There are a few sporadic polls that will show him beating Joe Biden, but overall, he tends to run weaker than Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis in Florida seems to be running better than Joe Biden. He's a much more disciplined candidate. He doesn't tweet odd things on Truth Social. He doesn't go out there and say things that provide fodder for the opposition. He didn't lose to a dead man in his basement, for example. And so a lot of Democrats are starting to play the same game they played in 2015, 2016. Now, they may be wrong, right? They may get exactly what they bargained for in 2015, 2016. You recall that in 2015, 2016, the left really elevated Trump. They really spent like billions of dollars worth of media time on Donald Trump, trying to elevate him in the primaries, thinking that Hillary would then defeat him. And of course, that turned out to be a horrible strategy. However, in the 2022 cycle, they actually did that again, and it worked. But they elevated John Baldock in New Hampshire. They spent a bunch of money on him in New Hampshire. They elevated Herschel Walker in Georgia. They elevated like a bunch of actual Republican candidates they thought were Trumpier in significant races, Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. They did this in order to try to facilitate Democratic wins in those states, and it actually worked out for them. So now they are attempting to do the same thing with Donald Trump, and they've discovered the secret sauce. The secret sauce is the more they attack Trump, the more Republicans come to Trump's defense. But the reason that Democrats are cry-cheering over Trump's reinstatement to Facebook is twofold. One, they would like to see Trump be the nominee. Two, they make a boatload of money off of Donald Trump. And you're seeing them ramp it up because there are new polls showing that Trump is very vulnerable to DeSantis, for example. There's a 2024 New Hampshire Republican primary poll. It's super early. DeSantis has not yet even declared for the presidency. If he's going to, it will probably be summer before he does. This new poll shows DeSantis up 42-30 over Trump in New Hampshire. If Trump loses New Hampshire, he's not winning the nomination. He won New Hampshire going away in 2016. In 2016, he won by 19 points in New Hampshire. It was one of his best states. So This means that Democrats have to mobilize, and they are beginning to mobilize with the cry cheering. They understand that if they attack Trump enough, then maybe it will generate support for him. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to some media reactions to the reinstatement of Donald Trump. They can barely keep a straight face on this one. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating
cheated in there.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
LLS.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media have been losing money hand over fist since Donald Trump exited the political scene. They could not be more excited to see him return to Facebook, but they're going to pretend cry about it. So MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, she was talking about the reinstatement of Donald Trump on Facebook and saying, well, they're after the dollars. That's what they want. They want the dollars. Guys, you've talked about Donald Trump incessantly since 2015. It is now 2023. For the last 8 years, we've been talking about Donald Trump and raking it in because of it. Now you're going to say that Facebook is in it for the bucks? All right.
Facebook's looking for ways to get creative in their business because, let's be honest, as far as new users are going, they're getting their clocks cleaned by TikTok. So Facebook looking to say, yep, this is for democracy. We're going to put Donald Trump back on. It's going to drum up a lot of energy, a lot of focus, and hopefully for them, a lot of ad dollars. So make no mistake when they're talking about, well, this is about content moderation. Maybe it's the right thing to do. The almighty dollar is why both sides are keen for this.
They are so excited at MSNBC. Don't let them fool you. They love every second of this. This is the thing they want more than anything in life. Mika Brzezinski is doing this routine. Now, you'll recall that Mika and Joe joked their way through the primary process with Donald Trump in 2016. I mean, they had him on like every day. And they made him palatable to even some members of the left. They're really nice to him. And then they had kind of a fake fight. And then they got back together in December of 2016. And then after the election, Donald Trump was too crazy for them. They started ripping on him again. It's been a whole kind of interpersonal saga with Mika and Joe. Now Mika's saying there's no accountability. This is all about money. That's the only reason he's back on Facebook. You guys, we can see it. We can see how happy you are. We can see how you want to make money off of Trump. Trump is a money. He was right. Trump said this about you guys. He was like, I make money for you. You need me. Correct. He's absolutely right about that.
We think risk to public safety has materially and significantly receded. But that is also the reason why we are introducing those additional guardrails to discourage him from breaking our rules going forward if he chooses to use Facebook and Instagram again.
I don't see any sign the risk has gone down. In fact, some of his posts on Truth Social are disgusting, racist. There's no change. So this is just about money. And also the fact that there's no accountability.
There's no accountability. You guys gave him like $1 billion in free media coverage in 2015, 2016. You're still on the air complaining about it. Yeah, man. The media, they are ecstatic about us. Mara Gay of the Washington Post says, I have a lot of concerns. You guys don't have concerns. You're full of it. It's kind of a win-win for you. You get to complain about Donald Trump being back, and then you get to cover Donald Trump being back, which makes you as happy as pie.
Ultimately, these social media platforms they're just not held to the same standards that news organizations are. And that is the central conflict. That is the central tension. I don't think that has gone away. I continue to believe. I have a lot of concerns about that. And, you know, look, Donald Trump's reaction was to mock them anyway.
Okay, so, you know, this is going to be fun to watch for the media. They will make more money off of this. Meanwhile, the person who they're really scared of is DeSantis, pretty obviously speaking. In sort of a fascinating development, Ron DeSantis has now called for a change at the RNC one day before the re-election vote for Ronna Romney McDaniel, who has now presided over three consecutive election losses for Republicans. She did poorly in 2018, in 2020, and in 2022. She is trying to run for re-election again. She's running against Harmeet Dhillon. Full disclosure, Harmeet Dhillon was our lawyer in our case that we filed against the Biden administration, suing them to remove the OSHA vax mandate. So I like Harmeet. I think Harmeet would make an excellent head of the RNC. Apparently, so does DeSantis. According to NBC News, in an interview with a conservative-leaning outlet in his home state, Florida's Voice, DeSantis spoke positively about McDaniel's top challenger, Harmeet Dhillon. He said, I think we need a change. I think we need to get some new blood in the RNC. I like what Harmeet has said about getting the RNC out of D.C. We need some fresh thinking. McDaniel has helmed the RNC since the beginning of Trump's term in the White House. While he endorsed for previous elections, this time Trump has stayed out of the race, telling Breitbart last year, I like them both, speaking of McDaniel and Dhillon. The incumbent is favored to win another term chairing at the RNC, and there are a lot of questions about how much McDaniel is in, for example, Trump's corner. Is she going to bias the RNC process in favor of Donald Trump, considering that he was a big backer of her the first time around? McDaniel is currently touting the endorsements of more than 100 members ahead of Friday's votes. She needs support from 85 on a secret ballot to win another term. Dylan right now has public support from at least 32 members of the committee. As I've said before, I don't think you get to lose this many elections consecutively and retain your job. It is sort of fascinating, however, to see the internal politics of the RNC. According to the New York Times, there has been some movement away from Donald Trump, even within the RNC, even among those who back Ronna Romney McDaniel. The 168 members of the RNC are gathering in Southern California to select their own leader on Friday. Interviews this week with 59 of them, more than one-third of the committee's membership, found few eager to crown Trump their nominee for a third term. While they praised his policies and accomplishments as president, many expressed deep concerns about his age, he's 76, temperament, and ability to win a general election, often in unusually blunt terms. Mack Brown, chairman of the Republican Party of Kentucky, said this isn't 2016, people have moved on. Jonathan Barnett, RNC member from Arkansas, who claims to have been the first member of the committee to endorse Trump's 2016 campaign, said the party would benefit from its nominee being forced to navigate a crowded primary field. Barnett said, I've been a supporter of Trump in the past. I just think we need choices this time. We've got to look at all of our options. Obviously, Trump is hoping to crowd out the field. That is very unlikely to happen. Already, Nikki Haley has made some pretty strong signals that she would like to run for president of the United States. Again, she was his UN ambassador, and she was a two-term governor of South Carolina, so she would be a strong candidate. Ron DeSantis is very likely to throw his hat into the ring. He's termed out as governor of Florida. He's done an excellent job there. He's extraordinarily popular in his home state, which is a swing state. He's very popular nationally as well. And you can see the media, they're ratcheting up the panic with regard to DeSantis in particular, because DeSantis is the one who's polling the best against Trump right now. So, for example, Don Lemon is turning that Spinal Tap speaker all the way up to 11. Here he was yesterday suggesting that that Ron DeSantis and the rest of the Republicans across the nation, they're trying to ban books. It's like the 1950s again, said the gay black man on national television.
Another challenge brought up by one of the school board members, the definition of age appropriate. How do you define what is age appropriate in this vetting process? I reached out to the governor's office as well as the Department of Education with that very question, and we have not received a response.
I feel like we're going back. I feel like I'm watching a bad version of, like, Pleasantville, where you're – I don't get what's happening. It feels like the 1950s all over again with, like, book banning. This is cancel culture from people who are – I guess they just want our kids to be ignorant and to control the teachers.
I love this stuff. I love it so much. So Don Lemon is a gay black man on national television, complaining that we now live back in the 1950s. I've noticed that he's, for the third time, a gay black man on national television. If this were the 1950s, I have a feeling that would not be a thing that is happening right now. More on this in just a moment, but first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape? Get your business the refund money. Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. Also, he seems pathologically incapable of understanding that you actually get to control what happens in the classroom, because free speech is not the chief issue in the classroom. What's taught to your kids is the chief issue in the classroom. That school libraries are not, in fact, free speech zones. You don't get to view pornography in the school library, for example. Don Lemon seems incapable of actually understanding any of that. But it's the panic level that really is the great indicator. So if people on the right are looking at who are the media actually panicked by, the answer is they're absolutely panicked over Ron DeSantis, and the reason for that is because DeSantis has been extraordinarily effective as governor of Florida. I can't stress it enough. I moved to Florida away from California. One of the reasons is politics. California has become a blue hellhole. Ron DeSantis' Florida is red as blood at this point. He won by 20 points. There's a supermajority of Republicans in the legislature. The entire Democratic Party in the state is in complete disarray, and he is winning battles one day at a time, is Governor DeSantis. By the way, the latest battle that he's winning right now is his plan. On Monday, he put out a plan to pass a teacher's bill of rights and spend an extra $200 million on teacher pay in the coming school year. So it's a two-pronged attack. One, he's going to break the teachers' unions, and two, he's going to pay the teachers more. That is just, it's good policy making. If you want to draw good teachers, you pay them more. If you want to break the teachers' unions, you offer people the possibility of good pay for good work. That's what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida right now, and the left does not know how to counter. According to the Wall Street Journal, the funds will bring the total the state has spent on teacher salaries to more than $3 billion from 2020 to 2024. They're also lifting the minimum salary to more than $48,000, eighth highest among states, according to the NEA. Addressing a classroom in a Jacksonville school, the governor said the money would help ward off a teacher shortage. The nationwide average, she said, is three vacancies for every school. She said Florida has kept the average openings to about half of that level. The plan devotes just as much attention to making sure teachers get the full benefit of their pay raise. It proposes a policy known as paycheck protection, which blocks the school from extracting members' dues on unions' behalf. So he's giving teachers back more money at the same time that he's fighting the teachers' unions. And he's actually forcing teachers to teach curricula that parents would like to see them teach. This has all been having a real impact on how teachers are actually teaching in the state of Florida. According to the Washington Post, quote, teachers are changing their lessons amid increasing scrutiny from parents and a raft of state laws and school policies that circumscribe lessons on race and gender, according to one of the first nationally representative studies of the subject. To which I say, good, you're doing a crap job. It's time for you to actually re-examine what you are teaching students in the classroom. I don't want your woke TikTok garbage being taught to small students. How about this? How about you actually consider what you're teaching and whether it is worthwhile being taught to students? It's so funny. You hear people on the left like, do you want teachers to be fearful in the classroom of saying things that might get them fired? Yes, that is exactly what I want. Everyone else is. It seems to me that when you are teaching the most vulnerable members of society, you should every day fear that you're going to teach them something that is wrong and incorrect. You should be the most careful people. It shouldn't be that the least careful people are in charge of classrooms. Of course you should feel like parents are looking over your shoulder. Of course you should. The parents are delegating their power to raise their child to you for this time in the day. That does not mean that you have irrevocable power. It does not mean that you get to throw overboard whatever you think the parents believe. That's not how any of that works. I am so glad this is happening. Teachers should have in the back of their mind, am I violating the law? For example, the findings draw on data gathered during the latest American Instructional Resources Survey, which RAND has administered each spring since 2019. In the last iteration, RAND surveyed 8,000 educators on teaching English, math, and science and analyzed 1,500 open-ended responses from teachers. The report says, our data suggests that limitations placed on how teachers can address contentious topics may be leading to consequences for teachers' working conditions and for student learning. Teachers described working in conditions filled with worry, anxiety, and even fear. Good. Good. I want you to be anxious. Before you put up the Black Lives Matter and the Pride Progress flag in your third grade classroom, I would like for you to think twice about that. I would like for you to be nervous about that. What I don't like is when my kid is nervous and anxious because they don't know what left-wing gobbledygook is going to be stuffed into their head by you. You're an authority figure, but that authority is absolutely removable. It is amazing to me that there are so many people who believe that the comfort of the teachers comes before the education of the students. The new report comes during intense political, cultural, and legislative battles over what students should learn about race, racism, U.S. history, gender, and sexual orientation at schools. A Washington Post analysis found that as of late 2022, legislators in 45 states have passed 64 laws across the past 3 years, restricting what teachers can say and children can do at school. Laws limiting instruction on race, racism, and history made up 28% of the total. 14 such pieces of legislation have passed in at least 18 states. Laws circumscribing instruction on gender identity, sexuality, and LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign issues accounted for 23% of the total, with 15 such laws having been passed in 8 states. At the same time, individual school districts have begun passing policies restricting education on similar topics, barring books by and about LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign, happy face emoji, sad face emoji, crying, laughing emoji, individuals and people of color, and increasing parental and administrative oversight of the titles chosen for public school libraries. Meanwhile, U.S. adults are losing their confidence in the public school system. Well, yes, that is why these restrictions are happening, and the restrictions are good. And it's been Ron DeSantis leading the way on that. Ron DeSantis is also leading the way in another contentious area. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But first, we all hope we'll never need life insurance, but the simple fact of the matter is that we are all going to die. And this means that probably at some point in the future, your family is going to need to make up for lost ground if, God forbid, you are taken too soon. Mortgage payments, childcare, other expenses, they don't just disappear after you die. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal information is private. I've got life insurance. You should have life insurance as well. It's the responsible thing to do. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty, coming up. There are more areas where Ron DeSantis is declaring a position in the culture war. These are smart fights. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Ron DeSantis has declared culture wars on a bunch of fronts, and he's fought the good fight. He's doing it again with regard to the death penalty in the state of Florida. So you'll recall that the perpetrator in the Parkland massacre, school massacre, was not given the death penalty in Florida because 3 out of 12 jurors voted against the death penalty in that case. A lot of people were very angry about that. I was one of those people. It turns out that when you massacre school children, you don't deserve to be breathing the same air as the rest of us. Well, now Governor DeSantis has broached the possibility of changing state law to allow juries to impose the death penalty without unanimous agreement, suggesting that perhaps only 2/3 of 12 jurors need to vote in favor, which would put the number at 8. DeSantis, in a speech to the Florida Sheriff's Association on Monday, expressed disappointment in the Parkland school shooter being given life in prison. He said, maybe 8 out of 12 have to agree or something. We can't be in a situation where one person can just derail this. His comments came as part of a discussion about what lawmakers may look at in the upcoming legislative session beginning March 7th. Now, remember, it would still take a unanimous verdict to find somebody guilty. You're just talking about the penalty that would be applied after the person is found guilty. Apparently, a lot of people on the left are very upset about all of this. I have trouble, I think, explaining why they are so upset about all of this. Florida's requirement for unanimous agreements on the death penalty is relatively recent. A 2016 U.S. Supreme Court ruling and a subsequent Florida Supreme Court ruling triggered Florida's move to a unanimous jury system. Before, Florida only required a majority, and judges had the power to override a jury's decision. So it wasn't as though it was unchecked. If a jury came to a decision for the death penalty, a judge could still step in and say no. The U.S. Supreme Court said Florida's capital sentencing gave too much power to judges over juries. So following that ruling, legislators in 2016 passed a bill requiring a 10-2 jury majority. The state Supreme Court said it was in violation of the state constitution because it was non-unanimous. The next year, legislators passed a bill requiring unanimous jury recommendations. That seemingly put the issue to rest until 2020, and that is when the Florida Supreme Court reversed that ruling from 4 years earlier and said unanimity was not, in fact, necessary, and that they had misinterpreted the earlier Supreme Court ruling. The court said a jury only had to be unanimous in agreement somebody was eligible for the death penalty, not whether they should be sentenced to death or not. So, again, a lot of people on the left are apparently mad about this. I have a hard time seeing why. When somebody commits a crime so egregious that 8 out of 12 people on a jury believe that you should die for it, all 12 agree that you're guilty, and now 8 out of the 12 say you should die for it, it seems to me that a couple of activists on the jury should not be enough to overturn that particular verdict. Okay, meanwhile, controversy continues to percolate regarding the House Republicans attempting to boot Ilhan Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, as well as Representatives Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell from the House Intelligence Committee, as Mark Thiessen writes over at the Washington Post. McCarthy is 100% right to make this move. He says Omar is an anti-Semite who has no business serving on a committee that helps set policy toward Israel. Schiff and Swalwell are conspiracy theorists who abuse their positions on the Intel Committee to falsely claim they had seen secret evidence that President Donald Trump conspired with Russia to steal the 2016 election, and that was why neither deserves access to our nation's secrets. That's putting aside the fact that Swalwell was apparently nailing a Chinese spy. In September 2021, Omar and her anti-Israel allies used a potential government shutdown to force Nancy Pelosi to remove $1 billion in funding for Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system from an emergency spending bill. The Iron Dome is purely defensive, which means that Omar basically just wanted to cut the ability of Israel to defend itself against missiles falling in civilian areas, which, by the way, is happening again right now. Israel, the other day, had to go into Jenin, which is a terrorist hotbed. They killed a bunch of terrorists. The world screamed and shouted. And now, a bunch of missiles are apparently flying again into the center of Israel. Thank God for Iron Dome. Omar tried to defund that. That's just Ilhan Omar. Then there's Schiff and Swalwell. Schiff repeatedly claimed that his intel committee had unearthed plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy. He went on Meet the Press and said, quote, "I can't go into the particulars, but there's more than circumstantial evidence." He assured ABC News that Trump's Russia conspiracy is, quote, "of a size and scope probably beyond Watergate," which of course was a lie. Swalwell is even worse. In an interview with MSNBC, he was asked by Chris Matthews, "That's what he say." Matthew said, "Do you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians?" And Swalwell said, "Yes, I think there's more evidence that he is." And Swalwell, again, said yes. So him being deprived of a committee assignment makes perfect sense. Adam Schiff responded to the news that he might be removed from the Intel committee by going on the Chinese spy service TikTok to fundraise, which is a weird way to say that you want to be on the Intel committee. Here is Adam Schiff.
"Hello, I'm Congressman Adam Schiff with some troubling news. Today, Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee, all for doing my job, for holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans. We knew it would be bad when the Republicans took over, but it's far worse than we expected. But I can promise you this, this is not the end of my fight for our democracy. This is just the beginning. Please join us and contribute today. Thank you."
He also linked this to a Senate campaign. Yes, there's only failing upwards in American politics. No one ever fails out of American politics. They just go away for a little while, and then they return, ready to run for office again. Adam Schiff, according to the Washington Post, has now announced that he is running for the Senate in 2024, joining a growing field of Democrats who are seeking to replace Dianne Feinstein. She has not explicitly said she would run for re-election. That is because she is 1 million years old and no longer sentient, according to pretty much all sources. Schiff said, quote, "We're in the fight of our lives for the future of this country." And so he announced that he is going to run for the Senate again. In his campaign announcement, he said, "The fight for our democracy and working families is part of the same struggle. If our democracy isn't delivering for Americans, they'll look for alternatives, like a dangerous demagogue who promises that he alone can fix it." Schiff has been elected to Congress in 2000. He represented a large swath of the greater Los Angeles area, including the San Gabriel Valley. And, of course, he led the impeachment effort against Trump. and lied to the press repeatedly about what he had and had not seen. Schiff joins Representative Katie Porter, 49, who, of course, announced her run this month. She is the person with the whiteboard who writes a bunch of stuff, and then people get super excited because she has a whiteboard. Barbara Lee also wants to run for the Senate seat as well. She is 76 years old, so she is more in line with the age that we expect of our nation's top leaders. It'll be fascinating to see which one of these dullards emerges from this race. All three of those candidates are terrible, by the way. I guess California has that to look forward to. Once again, I am very glad I no longer live in California. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Protesters line the streets of Memphis, Tennessee and block traffic. This after the release of the body cam footage of the confrontation five black police officers had with Tyree Nichols in a fatal traffic stop beating.
Memphis protesters have shut down traffic over the death of Tyree Nichols after Memphis police just released the body cam footage showing his arrest. Those videos include footage from the officers' body cameras as well as traffic surveillance footage that shows officers swarming the 29-year-old. In Memphis reporting, I'm Ben Dieter.
Three people are under arrest in New York City during protests for Tyree Nichols. One arrest was for damage to a police car. A guy jumped on the vehicle and broke the windshield. The second arrest was for punching a police officer. A third was for an undisclosed reason. Other groups have also gathered in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Boston. Police in San Francisco released body cam video from last year's attack that seriously injured the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. It happened in their home.
David DePape and 82-year-old Paul Pelosi are seen by the front door of the home.
Hi. How you doing?
How are you?
What's going on, man?
The two are seen struggling to gain control of a hammer.
Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey, what is going on?
I'm not getting an answer. I'm called in.
DePape can be seen lunging at Pelosi with the hammer over his head. The actual attack is out of the view of officers. Pelosi, apparently unconscious, is seen lying down on the floor in his pajama top and underwear. Nancy Pelosi was in Washington at the time. DePape has pleaded not guilty. He is being held without bail. He told police this was a suicide mission and there was evil in Washington. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will consistently deliver better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at BestHotGrill.com. Solaire Hot Fast Grills at BestHotGrill.com.
The FDA is working towards making coronavirus vaccines more like annual flu shots.
Scientific advisors for the Food and Drug Administration are helping to decide how and when to update the recipe for COVID-19 vaccinations and whether Americans need once-a-year boosters. At an advisory panel meeting Thursday, the FDA's vaccine chief, Dr. Peter Marks, says vaccinations should be made simpler.
In order to facilitate the process of optimally vaccinating and protecting the entire population moving forward.
Members voted unanimously that people should get the same formula for initial vaccinations or a booster to protect against prevalent strains. Jennifer King, Washington.
The second consecutive quarter of economic growth that the government reported Thursday underscored the nation is not in a recession at this point, despite high inflation and the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes. Yet the U.S. economy is hardly in the clear. News and analysis at townhall.com. Hundreds of thousands of SUVs are being recalled. Correspondent Rita Foley reports.
Ford is recalling thousands of late model SUVs because the touch screens may not display a camera image when you're backing up. That increases the risk of a crash. This recall covers some 2020 through 2023 Ford Explorers and Lincoln Aviators and some 2020 to 2022 Lincoln Corsairs. All are equipped with 360-degree cameras. Ford says it knows of 17 crashes but calls them minor and says nobody was injured. Many of the same vehicles were recalled for the same problem in 2021. If your recalled SUV was repaired then, it'll have to be fixed again. I'm Rita Foley.
The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration quietly removes its top official in Mexico last year over improper contact with lawyers for major narco traffickers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State. On North State Now, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, daycare employees are pushed to promote non-binary identities on their children in their care. Meanwhile, a public school employee in Tennessee says she's quitting the profession because she can't groom her kids anymore without interference. We'll talk about all that today. Plus, a clothing company romanticizes self-mutilation in an attempt to promote their products. In our daily cancellation, a leftist YouTuber tries to take me to task for my authoritarian views on criminal justice. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. Welcome to another Flannel Friday, everyone. Now, you know that I try to remain humble. I certainly don't like to brag, but when I receive a major award in recognition of my work, I think the most humble thing is to acknowledge and show gratitude for it. And so I must say that I am grateful to start this year off with not one, but two prestigious awards. The first came at the beginning of the month. We talked about when the New Republic named me the transphobe of the year for 2022. As I said at the time, I'm blown away by the honor. The competition was obviously formidable. There were several worthy nominees who have been doing important work in the field of transphobia. But ultimately, I took the prize, and I couldn't have been more thrilled. A fantastic way to begin the month and the year, and this is an almost as fantastic way to end the month. The Anti-Defamation League, which, of course, is a far-left activist group, they put out a report this week naming the biggest amplifiers of anti-LGBTQ plus extremism. And here's how they begin their report. They say, in recent months, a handful of high-follower social media accounts have driven the rapid spread of dangerous and false narratives designed to marginalize and demonize the LGBTQ plus community. Online amplifiers of anti-LGBTQ plus hate and extremism use their influence to push baseless tropes and conspiracy theories to their millions of followers. These claims are frequently picked up by major far-right media personalities expanding their reach. Online amplifiers are key players in an ecosystem of anti-LGBTQ plus hate that drives online harassment campaigns against LGBTQ plus individuals and groups and spreads narratives which inspire real-world extremist activities, threats, and even violence. The Center on Extremism is tracking several of the biggest online amplifiers of anti-LGBTQ plus extremism. Now, the list of those being tracked, quote, by the Extremism Center include Libs of TikTok, along with Chris Rufo, The Blaze, Gays Against Groomers, and then, of course, yours truly, the transphobe of the year. ADL describes me this way. Says, Matt Walsh is an anti-LGBTQ plus extremist commentator for the far-right media outlet The Daily Wire. As seen as in his anti-transgender content, such as his documentary What is a Woman, Walsh is one of the biggest purveyors of erroneous and harmful narratives surrounding gender-affirming care for transgender and non-binary youth. His rally to end child mutilation targeted one such provider in Tennessee and was attended by known violent extremists as well as prominent right-wing politicians. Walsh has over 1.2 million Twitter followers and nearly 2 million YouTube subscribers, and his content is regularly promoted by mainstream conservative media figures such as Piers Morgan, Joe Rogan, and Tucker Carlson. Now, actually, I have over 2 million YouTube subscribers, not nearly 2 million, but who's counting besides me every day? The point is that I have, again, been honored and recognized for my transphobic extremist efforts, and I feel greatly blessed by that. Now, as humbled as I am to win these trophies, I sometimes suspect, maybe I'm paranoid, but I suspect that maybe they don't mean for it to be taken as an award, because it almost seems like they think we'll somehow be upset to be labeled this way, and even intimidated to know that we're being tracked. It's as though they imagine that I'll be like in a group chat with libs of TikTok and Chris Ruffo frantically messaging them to say, you know, guys, the Center for Extremism is on to us. It's time to lay low. But unfortunately for them, that is not exactly how we react to these sorts of things. Actually, the ADL and Media Matters and all the rest of them, they do find themselves in a little bit of a bind. It's kind of a lose-lose situation because on the one hand, we are incorrigible bastards, so you can't shut us up or change our minds with insults or intimidation. In fact, we find it amusing. We like it. So you only encourage us more when you do that. We're happy when we upset you. If you work for Media Matters or ADL or Southern Poverty Law Center, there is nothing negative you can say about us that won't make us happy, because we're so happy to have upset you people. That's what we want to do. But on the other hand, if you ignore us completely, well, then we're free to engage in our extremist activities without resistance. So there really are no great answers. And that's why you have to feel kind of sorry for them. I mean, I don't, but maybe you do. In fact, I have, for my part, never been more encouraged and determined to continue down this path of extremism, especially given two other stories from this week. Now, the first one is a video posted to social media by Jordan Chamberlain, who works with the Washington Free Beacon. And it's a clip from a documentary called Reflecting on Anti-Bias Education in Action, The Early Years. And it was reportedly presented by the North Carolina Association for Education of Young Children to a group of daycare providers in the state. Here's the clip. Watch this.
Huckleberries, today I wanted to introduce you to a new friend in our class. Well, this, Huckleberries, is my friend, Nash. It's our first day in our class. They're just looking around at all of you, and they're so curious to know who you all are.
Today was fun. It was really interesting, though, knowing going in, being like, I don't know what questions kiddos are going to have or what they're going to say. Which is both like nerve-wracking, but also kind of exciting. It's that place of not knowing as a teacher and just being okay with that. Mm-hmm. And the friend likes to ask the question, are you a boy or a girl? And Nash answers, I'm just a kid.
But kids can be boys or girls.
They can be boys or girls. Yeah.
Or maybe non-binary.
Yeah.
It was just like non-binary, yeah. That's just something that we know. And this is something, I mean, it's like they're 4 and 5 years old, and they just didn't make a big deal out of being a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was a huge testament to how much we've been talking about it in the classroom that you never mentioned the term non-binary. It was a child who brought that up because it's constantly in conversation.
Yes, a testament to what they've been doing in the classroom. That it is. She's right. I mean, what's fascinating about that clip is that we get the propaganda and then the reality right next to each other. First, we hear from the teacher who tries the familiar maneuver of pretending that a child's acceptance of concepts like non-binary and transgender is proof somehow of the concept's self-evident validity. To the kids, it's normal, they say. The kids accept it without a problem, so why do you adults have an issue with it? Yes, well, why is it normal to the kids? Why do they accept it? Why do they repeat the jargon? The other teacher lays it out plainly. They accept it and repeat it because they constantly hear about it in the class from the teachers. The teachers are hammering these ideas into their heads, which results in the kids, what do you know, having these ideas in their heads. Isn't it so amazing how if we continually tell them something over and over and over and over again, eventually they repeat it? Isn't it amazing how kids work that way? No, it's not amazing. That's how every kid works. In fact, you don't even need to repeat something over and over and over again for the kid to pick it up and repeat it too. Like any parent that's ever been in a car and, got cut off in traffic and you let a profanity slip out and then you hear it repeated in the back from the kid who you thought wasn't paying attention. Like, you know how kids are like sponges and they hear a word one time and they repeat it. Now, if you take a word like a concept term like non-binary and you say it in the classroom, not just once, but over and over and over again, of course they're going to repeat it. And this is why they're so desperate to introduce gender theory to children as young as possible, because they don't even want to wait for kindergarten. They want to get to the kids when they're still in daycare. The younger, the better. Because the younger a child is, the more willingly he will accept incoherent ideas without skepticism. And as the history of the human race clearly attests, if you get someone to believe something early in life, they'll most likely continue believing it all the way to the grave. Children are not skeptical of anything. Adults are only skeptical of new ideas, right? I mean, that's most adults. Very few adults show any capacity to apply skepticism to ideas that they've always held. Children aren't skeptical of anything. Adults are only skeptical of the things that they are newly introduced to. And even then, many adults aren't even skeptical of that. That's the game here. And it's why they've turned daycares and elementary schools into LGBT indoctrination zones. It's also why we have to oppose these despicable groomers with every fiber of our being. The opposition does matter, and it does make an impact. And if you need to be convinced on that latter point, well, consider this unintentionally encouraging testimonial from a groomer teacher here in Tennessee. Listen to what she says.
I have no idea what comment this video goes back to, but the comment, like, there's a groomer flag in the background. I was able to pull a screen grab, and if you see in my old classroom, I had my pride flag right there. It's in a different spot in my new classroom. It's still there. Here's the thing. I am going to quit. I am 100% going to quit. And it is because, not comments like this, but it is because people like this have taken over or are starting to take over education. And education is not what it once was, and it's not worth it anymore. I support every single one of my students, no matter what their views are.
Now, I have to say, to the extent that I can take partial credit for helping to create the environment that is so hostile and demoralizing to this teacher, driving her out of the profession in frustration, this is an even greater honor than winning Transphobe of the Year. This teacher has declared that it's not even worth teaching if she isn't able to sexually indoctrinate children. Actually, it's not worth teaching if she encounters any pushback in her efforts to sexually indoctrinate children. She demands the ability, and had grown accustomed to, running her indoctrination camp without opposition or any accountability whatsoever. She pines for those days and laments that they are gone. And now she is leaving in protest, which is fantastic. One down, many more to go. This is exactly why we have to keep the pressure on. Yes, we want to push for policy changes, as we have done. Yes, we want to persuade people. We want to make the argument, all of that. But we also want to frustrate and demoralize the enemy until they decide that it's simply not worth the heartache to continue. That is part of the strategy here. Frustrate and demoralize them. We want them to know that as long as they insist on treating children this way, they will encounter opposition, and it will be relentless. And it will come from people who cannot be emotionally blackmailed, cannot be cowed into silence by accusations of bigotry, people who are so stubborn and frustrating to you that, in fact, when you try to put labels on us, we'll make a joke out of it and celebrate it. That's the only way. That's how we put a stop to this. And the plan is working, slowly but surely. Next up, we'll be discussing Burberry's new and disturbing ad campaign. We'll be right back.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes? It's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and Internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes Internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating in and air.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
And we're back with Matt Walsh. This is from the Daily Mail. A new advertisement from Burberry featuring gender-neutral models has sparked outrage for glamorizing girls having healthy breasts removed. The British fashion house's latest campaign features a topless young person with scars from a double mastectomy, a procedure that can be used to remove cancer or for those transitioning genders. Burberry's latest campaign that is entitled Be Mine celebrates intimacy and embracement. Is that a word? I don't think that is. Celebrates intimacy and embracement. And critics have assumed that the model is transgender. Well, seems pretty obvious. I don't think advertisements should be normalizing, in fact, glamorizing girls having healthy breasts removed, one critic said. Throughout the campaign, real-life couples are captured expressing their moments of embrace, while each couple is also dressed in a selection of Burberry gifts. Burberry has shared the new campaign on its Instagram account, where it has received hundreds of comments. We have the picture of this, of what this campaign looks like. And it's a clothing designer promoting, glamorizing, romanticizing self-mutilation. This is really no different than a stylized clothing ad that would show a girl showing off her scars that are on her arm from where she cut herself. Or imagine an ad with a rail-thin bulimic woman puking in a toilet. Like, it's the same kind of thing. It's the glamorization of self-harm. That, of course, is not the media's headline here. Listen to this is the Newsweek headline. New Burberry ad sparks Republican meltdown. And so for them, the headline, of course, is not the fact that a clothing company is promoting girls removing their healthy breasts, you know, cosmetic double mastectomies. That's not the headline. That is, to Newsweek, that's not the headline. The headline is that people are upset about it. Now, of course, we know this is the media's game, the old Republicans pounce maneuver. But it's the same deal here. This is, you know, anti-life, anti-human. It's hard to think of something more anti-human than celebrating, promoting, glamorizing, and romanticizing self-harm that human beings inflict on themselves. All right. This is a story from the Daily Wire. It says a 15-year-old girl from New York was issued a sentence of 3 to 9 years on Tuesday after submitting a guilty plea over lethally stabbing a peer. The girl's name was not disclosed because she's only 15 years old. The Westchester County District Attorney's Office released information regarding the sentencing, saying that the girl had pleaded guilty to first-degree manslaughter for the deadly stabbing of Kayla Green, who was 16 years old at the time of her death. A teenage defendant senselessly took the life of Kayla Green, and in doing so left a community devastated as a family, and the Mount Vernon community remain in mourning. I want to reiterate my commitment to working with our vital community partners for meaningful violence prevention and intervention, especially for our youth. This is from District Attorney Miriam Rocha. So she wants to do everything she can to prevent violence and everything she can to protect, you know, people from being victims of violence. And the solution then is a sentence of 3 to 9 years for stabbing someone to death. And I get that she's kid's 15 years old. That's a kid. And so it's a tragic thing on multiple levels. They have a 15-year-old whose life has gone so wrong that they're already lashing out murderously. Then you have another girl who's dead. That's the greatest tragedy of all. You know, and it's a tragedy on both counts. But what is solved here? So you give it 3 to 9 years. That means it's really going to be 3 years or less than that. And this girl is out when she's 18, 19 years old. So you take a 15-year-old girl who's already a murderer, who's already the kind of person that would stab someone to death, and then you throw her into, you know, a jail for 3 or 4 years, let her kind of hang out in that stew along with other criminals, and then release her back into society when she's 18 or 19. What have you solved that way? This is exactly what we talked about earlier this week, and we'll talk about it again a little bit in the daily cancellation. You know, this is why it makes people upset, it makes them uncomfortable and squeamish when you talk about what actual law and order would look like and what it would entail. But you should be upset and squeamish about this. That you have the dangerous, murderous people who we take them, and our solution is just to put them in a building with other dangerous, murderous people for a few years and then release them back into society. Where statistically, it's almost certain they're going to victimize more people. And everybody involved knows that. The system knows that. Right? Everyone knows. The court system knows that when this person is released from jail, everyone involved, you know, in the system will know, oh, we're going to see her again. She's probably going to kill somebody else, and we're going to see her again. And everyone knows it. And then we sit back like impotent, helpless. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, there is something you can do about it, which is to keep this person in prison. And again, I understand 15 years old, the idea of taking a 15-year-old, putting her in prison for potentially for life, or certainly for decades, you know? That idea is, it's a very sad thing. Someone throw their life away like that. But the other option, the other solution is totally untenable. Another way to look at it is, you know, when you have the criminals who do terrible things, in order to keep society safe, a sacrifice must be made. There's going to be a sacrifice made, you know. Either we take the criminal and they're going to be forced to sacrifice their freedom potentially permanently, or depending on the crime, they may have to sacrifice their own lives, you know, if it's a capital crime. So that might make you upset to think about, but that's one option. The other option is that innocent people in society and the community have to sacrifice potentially their own lives. So we don't want to make the criminal sacrifice their freedom or their own lives, and so we release them back into society, and now a sacrifice is made of innocent law-abiding citizens who end up falling victim to that criminal we just released back onto the street. Now, you might prefer that there be a solution where no one has to sacrifice anything. Nobody has to sacrifice their life. No one has to sacrifice their freedom. Nobody is hurt. Nothing bad happens. I agree. That would be the best solution. I would prefer that. You know, but that doesn't exist. We'll be right back with more of the Matt Walsh Show after a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a happy new year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
JastaBeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from JastaBeam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. I'm sure you recall a few weeks ago when there was great panic across the land because Republicans couldn't agree on who to appoint as the new Speaker of the House. And this was a source of tremendous heartache and fear and misery in the population. And I mean specifically the population of corporate media offices in D.C. Nobody else really gave the slightest damn about any of this, nor should they have cared about it. But for those particularly on the right, who are concerned that, you know, not handing the speakership over to Kevin McCarthy automatically, concerned that if we didn't just give it to him, that it would somehow have disastrous effects. I think those people should check out what Kevin McCarthy, now the Speaker of the House, has been doing over the last several days. One of his first acts as Speaker of the House was to kick Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff off of the House Intelligence Committees, which is a very good thing. But the fact that he's doing these good things is not evidence that we shouldn't have resisted his speakership, but rather it's evidence that it's a very good thing we did, because it's clear that McCarthy's resistance from the base has resonated with him. Okay, we do have some power and control here, but we have to use it. And even if it didn't provoke an authentic conversion experience for Kevin McCarthy, it at least is forcing him to act like something other than an establishment shill for right now. And that's just as good as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if these people mean it or not. I don't care. I don't care what they actually think in their hearts. I don't care about any of that. It doesn't make any difference to me. Who cares about that? All I care about is what they do, the policies they implement, even if they do it begrudgingly. If they do it and they wish they didn't have to do it, but they're only doing it because they're being held accountable by the base and they hate us and they're muttering about us the whole time, fine, I don't care. Just do it. If they're doing it to appease us, good. That only shows the power that we have. So McCarthy kicked them off the Intelligence Committee, and then he had this really fantastic exchange with the D.C. journalist who challenged him on it. And again, what you're about to hear from him, you would not have heard had we not challenged. If the base had not challenged him, you wouldn't hear this. We haven't heard anything like this from Kevin McCarthy until now. That's not a coincidence. But we'll watch a little bit of this exchange.
He's gotten elected by his district. So, okay, let me be very clear and respectful to you. You ask me a question. When I answer it, it's the answer to your question. You don't get to determine whether I answer your question or not, okay? In all respect. Thank you. No, let's answer her question. You just raised a question. I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians, when he knew different. when he knew the intel. If you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees.
So, Kevin McCarthy.
So yes, he can...
Okay. Good, yeah. And then he goes on to talk about Eric Swalwell. I mean, Eric Swalwell was involved in a romantic affair with a Chinese spy. So, yeah, should he be on the Intelligence Committee? I mean, he's involved in a romantic affair with a Chinese spy. He also has chronic flatulence. So those are two good reasons why. I mean, it's not fair to the other people on the committee to have him in there for really both of those reasons. And that's the point that Kevin McCarthy made. Well, he didn't bring up the flatulence thing. I wish he had. That's the only criticism I have of this moment from Kevin McCarthy, a moment that, once again, I do not believe we would have if we hadn't challenged him the way we did. Now, Swalwell, for his part, is very upset about not getting his committee assignment. It's another one of those things, right, that D.C. shows how terminally out of touch they are with any normal American, that they think we care about, like, they think they can come to us with a sob story about not getting a committee assignment, and they think that we'll care about that. They think there's anyone in the country who's sitting around going, I really feel bad for Eric Swalwell not getting his committee assignment. So he's addressing the media about it and holding back tears. He's very upset. Let's listen.
So this is purely about political vengeance. The cost is not only removing us from the committee, on the Intelligence Committee, the cost is not only shattering the most precious glassware in the cabinet, a committee that's always been bipartisan. The costs are the death threats that Ms. Omar, myself, and Mr. Schiff keep getting because Mr. McCarthy continues to aim and project these smears against us. Even though we have said publicly these smears are bringing death threats, he continues to do it, which makes us believe that there's an intent behind it. But we will not be quiet. We're not going away. I think he'll regret giving all three of us more time on our hands.
Oh, he made a threat there himself. That's a threat, isn't it? Actually, I am worried about Eric Swalwell having more time on his hands. How many other foreign spies can he sleep with in a given year with all that extra time? So I am a little bit concerned about that. By the way, nobody is making death threats to Eric Swalwell. I don't think anyone's ever made a death threat to Eric Swalwell. No one would take him seriously enough to actually make a death threat. He's not a serious enough figure in politics to warrant that to begin with. But also, he wants us to believe that people are making death threats because of him not being appointed to the House Intelligence Committee. No one is even aware of that or cares. And the kinds of people who would send random angry death threats to politicians, these are not the kinds of people who are paying attention to what the committee assignments are. So that's all very good stuff. Next up on our daily cancellation, we will be rebutting a YouTuber who responded to my take on executing drug dealers. Stay tuned.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Thanks for tuning in to the Matt Walsh Show. Earlier this week, we discussed our pathetic, impotent criminal justice system, which has utterly failed to maintain law and order in our communities. It's a justice system that seems to be uninterested in justice. And I proposed, as you recall, that we take off the kid gloves and start dealing harshly with criminals, predators, those who've turned our cities into reeking, zombified wastelands. In fact, I advocated that we adopt some of Singapore's strategies in this regard, strategies that have helped to make Singapore one of the safest and cleanest places in the world, while our cities look like massive drug-infested garbage dumps. Specifically, I believe that we, like Singapore, should adopt corporal punishment for thieves and robbers and vandals and the like. And, we used to use corporal punishment on kids in school. Now we've decided that it's too mean to even use on multiply convicted felons, and I find that attitude absurd and weak. The criminals also find our justice system absurd and weak, which is why they have no respect for it, and they have no fear of breaking its laws. And I also believe that we, like Singapore, and like Donald Trump has frequently suggested for this country, we ought to expand our capital punishment regime to include drug traffickers, those who distribute and sell mass amounts of poison, slowly killing thousands of people every year, ought to face the ultimate penalty. Nearly every murderer who has ever been executed in the United States inflicted less damage and killed fewer people than the most prolific drug traffickers. There's no reason why drug traffickers should get a more lenient sentence. Indeed, there's no reason why the death penalty should be reserved only for those who directly kill people. Sometimes the most heinous kinds of predators have other ways of preying upon their fellow human beings. Child rapists would be another example. With our ridiculous laws as they stand in most states, you can't execute a child rapist unless they're also guilty of murder, as if the crime of child rape itself doesn't warrant it. I mean, they deserve to die for their crimes, whether they directly kill their victims or not. This is the case I made, and I explain my logic, I think, in extensive detail. Still, it has proven to be, not surprisingly, controversial. People on both sides of the political divide are deeply scandalized by my argument. Twitter has been basically unusable for me over the past few days. Well, it's always basically unusable, but especially over the past few days, because my entire feed is just people screaming at me for wanting to punish criminals. Now, look, it's okay if you disagree with me. I will give you permission until my theocratic fascist regime officially begins anyway. For now, you do have permission to disagree with me. You're wrong, but that's okay. You can be wrong. My problem is not that people simply disagree with my proposal, but that they treat the mere notion of harsher penalties for criminals as somehow absurd on its face. They recoil at the suggestion that those who traffic substances that kill thousands every year should be given the same punishment that we already give to other kinds of murderers. They scream out in horror at the very idea that perhaps we should sentence robbers and thieves to corporal punishment rather than letting them hang out in prison for a few months and then releasing them right back into the community with no additional penalties. You know, this is the issue. You're not a stupid person for listening to my argument, finding it unpersuasive, and making a counterargument. That's fine. But you are, frankly, pretty damn stupid if my argument is so shocking to you that you can barely articulate a response, or if you think it's so unthinkably extreme that it isn't necessary to articulate a response. That kind of reaction to a perfectly reasonable suggestion, one with a massive amount of historical precedent, shows a lack of thought on your part and an inability to even entertain any challenge to modern orthodoxies, because that's really the problem, right? Is that what I'm saying flies in the face of our kind of generally accepted notions of how to deal with criminals. And for that reason alone, many people are upset by it. They can't explain really why. It just doesn't comport with what they've always been told and sort of the general atmosphere that they live in. Speaking of people who can barely articulate a response, that brings us to YouTuber Kyle Kolinsky, who's the owner of the Secular Talk channel on YouTube. And like most YouTubers on the left, every so often Kyle likes to use my name to drive engagement, and every so often I will respond because, well, I can't help but take the bait. So yesterday, Kyle put out a video titled "Matt Walsh's Fascist Mask Slips on Twitter." And he's part of the mob, terribly upset about my comments, though he, like the rest of them, can't quite explain why. Now, most of Kyle's video consists of him calling me stupid and authoritarian while making incredulous facial expressions. Not really a counter-argument, not much to respond to. But I did want to address one part of it, and it's this part. Listen.
Singapore is able to have nice things in part because they execute drug dealers by hanging and arrest even petty vandals and thieves and beat them with a cane until they bleed. We don't have nice things because we aren't willing to do what is required to maintain them. And then he goes on to say, there are some accusing me of advocating similar laws in this country, and I just want to clarify that, yes, absolutely I want those laws in this country. Okay. Matt Walsh is an authoritarian. And it's hilarious because the Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, and others like to go after the left and say, oh, the left are authoritarians and they hate freedom, bro. They hate liberty, bro. You hate freedom. You hate liberty. Part of freedom is being able to put in your body whatever you want to put in your body as long as you're not hurting anybody else. Being able to sell said substances. In the same way, I don't think we should be hauling away the CEO of Budweiser in handcuffs. I don't think you should haul away the weed dealer. He's saying, execute drug dealers. All right, dog. You want to start? Go find the CEO of Pfizer and Moderna. Go find the guys who make Xanax.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I mean, we'd have to give the big pharma executives a fair trial, of course, convict them in a court of law. But once that's been done, I absolutely would want them to face the same penalty that should be imposed on any other drug trafficker. See, Kyle, you're not going to trip me up by demanding that I take my arguments to their logical conclusions, because I will always do that. I'm not afraid of doing that. That's the advantage to being logically consistent. Okay, so you go, so when you say, well, if that's how you feel, then that would lead to this. Sure, sounds good to me. Let's do that, too. It's an advantage of being logically consistent that you yourself do not enjoy, because you have already made a number of statements that I'm quite sure you would not want to apply with total consistency. So you say that part of freedom is not only being able to put whatever you want into your body, but also being able to sell anything that someone else might want to put in their body. Now, here's the problem. This argument already assumes that freedom is itself the highest good, and therefore literally anything that falls under the banner of freedom is automatically good and should be permissible. But that's a case you need to make. Okay, you can't merely assume that. You haven't made it here or, as far as I know, anywhere else. See, I don't believe that freedom is the highest good. I don't think that the ideal society is one where people are simply able to do whatever they want all the time. I don't really think that you think that either, actually. I'm quite sure that there are things that you would say people should not be free to do. I'm quite sure of that. And yet your whole argument rests on simply labeling drug trafficking part of freedom. So already we have a number of logical inconsistencies and sort of half-baked ideas. Well, let's talk about drug traffickers for a moment. Now, you keep making this you want to make this about weed, first of all. And I've noticed that with all the people that are arguing with me. Talk about drug traffickers. All they want to do is talk about weed. They bring it right to weed. I didn't specifically say that. I said drug traffickers. Okay? And you do that because you know you'd sound ridiculous defending fentanyl dealers on the basis of freedom. Okay, so you go for the easiest form of the argument you can find. And you want to make this about marijuana. But I'm not going to let you off the hook that easily. So let's focus on fentanyl dealers for a moment. They traffic and profit off of poison, just straight up poison, that destroys the lives of thousands of people and kills thousands more. And you say this is okay because the people who use it want to. You know, they want to use it, so that makes it okay. Well, why does their desire to use the drug automatically make it okay to sell it? Is that the standard? Anything that somebody might want to use is automatically okay to sell? Is that really how you think the law should work? And again, your argument rests on an assumption that you haven't actually defended or explained, which is that freedom is the highest good. It's a good in and of itself, and anything that can be labeled freedom automatically should be allowed to happen. Besides, even if the fentanyl user has consented, the entire rest of the community, plagued by the filth and crime and violence the drug causes, have not consented. Okay, the dealer might consent, the user might consent, we'll get to that in a second, but the people forced to live in communities utterly ravaged by this poison do not consent to it. The people who are hopped up on these drugs and then they run on to, you know, run to a subway platform and throw an old lady in front of the train, she didn't consent to that. She didn't consent to being part of this. She didn't consent to living in a city that's the walking dead with drug zombies walking around. Oh, and also, by the way, the user doesn't consent either. They're addicts. They're not making clear choices. They are acting out of desperation and compulsion and addiction. The dealers and traffickers exploit that for financial gain. There's no freedom here. Freedom has nothing to do with drug addiction. Who the hell could look at a heroin addict or a fentanyl addict or a crackhead and say, well, that's freedom? That is the opposite of freedom. So to review, freedom is not a self-explanatory defense of drug trafficking. It's also not a relevant defense because one of the things that makes drug trafficking so evil is that the end user does not actually have total freedom because they are enslaved by the drug. But let's take addiction out of it. Let's take drugs out of it. Okay? Let's make this even easier for you. You just said that people should be free to sell whatever anyone else wants to put in their bodies. That's what you said. Now, I think that this is an utterly ridiculous argument when it comes to hard drugs, but it's also ridiculous when it comes to things that are not drugs. That's how thoroughly ridiculous your argument is. So here's a thought experiment, just a thought experiment. Tide Pods. You may remember a few years ago when there was much consternation over the Tide Pod challenge, wherein idiots on TikTok or YouTube or whatever would eat the laundry detergent capsules and then get very sick, and in a few cases would die. Now, here's the question. What if the Tide detergent company decided that it wanted to lean into this phenomenon, and so it began selling its product as both a laundry detergent and a snack? What if they put on their packaging, Tide Pods, great for laundry, great for snacking? And what if they even, well, let's just say that they're being a little bit more responsible, they include an FDA warning that though it can physically be eaten, it might be damaging to your health. But still, even with that warning, they're marketing it. They are marketing it as a consumable product. Remember, you said that people should be free to put whatever they want into their bodies, and sellers should be free to sell whatever anyone wants to put into their bodies. Some people wanted to put Tide Pods in their bodies. Why couldn't the Tide company therefore sell Tide Pods specifically to that demographic, put it in a snack aisle next to the potato chips, explicitly for the purpose of consuming? Why couldn't they, in other words, intentionally poison their customers directly? What would be wrong with them sitting around in a marketing room and saying, you know what, some of our customers want to be poisoned and killed by this. Let's think of some ways to sell it to them. Let's think of some ways to market it. Not just market it to people who already want to consume Tide Pods, but let's try to convince people that they should eat this stuff and then sell it to them. The argument you made in defense of fentanyl dealers would cover this Tide company hypothetical absolutely. Now, maybe you escape this bind by plunging forward and saying, yeah, sure, Tide should be able to legally market their product to those who want to eat it. Now, that would make you consistent, at least, but it would make you consistently insane because you would be defending the freedom of corporations to intentionally and directly poison their customers, which would only go to show that freedom in and of itself is not a valid defense. And, of course, you never did explain in that clip or in any other clip part of your diatribe what is so wrong with non-lethal physical punishments of criminals, especially when even simply putting someone in prison is a physical punishment involving physical coercion and force. Should we abolish prisons, too, while we're at it? And if we shouldn't abolish prisons, meaning that physical force can validly be used to punish criminals, then why should we automatically rule out corporal punishment, which is but one form of physical force? Well, we'll take it one step at a time, I suppose. Kyle still needs to figure out whether laundry detergent companies can sell their products as a snack. I don't want to overwhelm him with things, so we will let him think about that. But for the time being, we will also say that he is canceled. And that's all we have for today and this week as well. Thanks for tuning in. Be back on Monday. Talk to you then. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. An uneasy calm in a number of cities around the country this evening in the wake of the release of the body cam footage of the arrest and beating of a black Memphis man by five black police officers.
As the video was released after the business day this afternoon, demonstrators had already begun to gather in downtown Memphis and in other cities around the country, with local leaders and even President Biden urging calm and peaceful protests. So far, there have been no incidents of any violence being reported at any of the demonstration sites. All five officers have been fired and are facing murder and other charges. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The father of Tyree Nichols is speaking out following the release of the video showing his son's beating. Rodney Wells was asked by MSNBC what he would say to the police officers who beat his son January 7th. He said he would pray for them too, as well as their families. Violence in East Jerusalem Friday as a Palestinian opened fire on people leaving a synagogue, killing seven people, including a 70-year-old woman, and wounding three. On International Holocaust Remembrance Day, a group of bipartisan lawmakers introduced a Holocaust education bill to the House that aims to ensure future generations are taught about that genocide. Two more years for Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel.
The secret ballot vote at the GOP's National Committee's annual meeting in California was 111-51 for current chair Ronna McDaniel. The election did highlight fierce internal divisions that threatened to plague the party into the next presidential season. While former President Donald Trump privately backed McDaniel, powerful forces from within his Make America Great Again movement lined up behind one of his attorneys, Harmeet Dhillon. Another candidate was MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. I'm Shelley Adler.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
A pileup on I-39 near Beloit in southern Wisconsin involves close to 50 vehicles. The Wisconsin State Patrol says snow, ice, and whiteout conditions were factors in the initial crash early Friday afternoon. A senior German official says she hopes her country will receive hydrogen made with renewable energy from Australia by 2030.
The two countries have stepped up plans for cooperation on clean energy as Germany tries to find replacements for Russian gas supplies while pursuing an ambitious policy of reducing its emissions to net zero by 2045. So-called green hydrogen is seen as a key fuel to power industrial processes that require high temperatures, such as steelmaking. Germany's science minister says Australia has strong potential to produce hydrogen with the help of abundant solar and wind power.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Republican supporters of a bill aimed at abolishing the tax code are running into an early barrier.
The Fair Tax Act was thrust into the spotlight earlier this month as reports emerged that it was part of the deal made by Congressman Kevin McCarthy with his GOP detractors during the days-long process to elect a speaker. But as the bill becomes fodder for growing Democratic attacks from the White House down, some Republicans are distancing themselves from the legislation. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said Thursday that he didn't support the bill, instead saying that he backs making permanent the tax cuts in former President Trump's signature 2017 tax bill. Some Republicans have expressed interest in the idea of a national sales tax, but have yet to sign on to the legislative effort. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
The House approves a bill to limit the president's authority to release oil from the nation's emergency reserve. The bill requires that the federal government develop a plan to increase oil production in order to draw from that reserve. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, we do have the economic stats from the fourth quarter in the United States. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. economy grew at a solid 2.9% annual rate last quarter, but entered this year with less momentum as rising interest rates and still high inflation weighed on demand. U.S. growth in the fourth quarter was down slightly from a 3.2% annualized rate in the third quarter, according to the Commerce Department. Consumer spending helped drive the fourth quarter gain. Obviously, it's holiday season. A lot of people are out there spending. The housing market did weaken. Businesses cut back their spending on equipment as well, presumably in expectation that things are about to get very slow in the American economy. The October to December period capped a year of economic slowdown with growth of 1% in the fourth quarter of 2022 compared with a year earlier and down sharply from the 5.7% growth in 2021. So we are certainly sliding into something. Many people are saying that recession is about to happen. The slowdown in part reflected a return to a more normal pace of growth after output surged amid business reopenings, fiscal stimulus, and a waning pandemic in 2021. So as inflation begins to wane, and as those interest rates increase, the economy is going to go into a certain level of stagnation. It may be recession followed by stagnation, or it just may be plain stagnation. Whatever it is, the future of the American economy for at least the next couple of years is not going to be particularly strong. According to Kathy Bostjancic, the chief economist at Nationwide, outside of the labor market, we're really seeing a broad-based slowing in economic activity. It's not going to be a soft landing. Now, many people in the media are, of course, trying to pitch the idea that a soft landing is imminent. A soft landing would be where the Federal Reserve somehow achieves the signal feat of increasing the interest rates to slow inflation without the country actually sliding into full-on economic recession. And so some excuse is going to have to be come up with if recession does in fact hit. And again, recession looks like it is on the way. According to the Wall Street Journal, there have now been severe corporate layoffs beyond high growth tech giants. Dow, International Business Machine Corporation, SAP, SE, joined the string of companies outlining plans to cut thousands of jobs to prepare for a darkening economic outlook, even as the nation's labor market remains tight. The headline-grabbing expansion of layoffs beyond high-growth tech companies stands in contrast to historically low levels of jobless claims and news that places like Chipotle and Airbus are adding jobs. That makes sense, again, that Chipotle and Airbus are adding jobs as people go back into the marketplace, as they begin to spend again on things like restaurants. You'd imagine that Chipotle is going to hire up. And again, people were not traveling, and now they are traveling, and so a lot of people got laid off, and now they're going to be put back into the travel market again. But overall, the economy is certainly slowing, and there was a lot of talk that maybe this was going to be restricted to the tech stocks, specifically because when you have a lot of money that's sort of in circulation, a lot of that money ends up going to the more high-return areas of the economy, namely tech. When the money comes out of the economy, that is the place where the tide rushes out the fastest. However, it's now bleeding over into sort of more mainstream industrial industries. This week, four companies trimmed more than 10,000 jobs. Still, the decisions mark a shift in sentiment inside executive suites, where many leaders have been holding on to workers after struggling to hire and retain them in recent years when the pandemic disrupted workplaces. Unlike Microsoft and Alphabet, which announced larger layoffs this month, these companies haven't expanded their workforces dramatically during the pandemic. Instead, the leaders of these global giants said they were shrinking to adjust to slowing growth or responding to weaker demand for their products. So this is obviously the beginning of something that looks like a serious economic slowdown. Recession fears are growing, according to the Washington Post. Despite the U.S. economy growing overall in 2022 at 2.1%, that was wildly outpaced by inflation, and the recession fears continue. They say that the figure was a cool down over the last quarter, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The latest figures point to a resilient but slowing economy that has been tempered by the Federal Reserve's aggressive efforts to control inflation. Although economic growth in the most recent quarter came in stronger than many had expected, analysts say it will have little impact on the Fed's next move. So this means, again, that somebody has to come up with a plan. The plan is going to be to blame Republicans. This plan is going to be largely reliant on the debt ceiling fight. So the timing is coincidental, obviously. We are about to hit the debt ceiling in the next couple of weeks. That does not mean that the United States government will shut down. We have enough runway that the government will continue to run at current run rate for the next several months until things would actually start to go offline, until the national parks, if Barack Obama were president, but it is a Biden, so he'll try to do the same sort of thing. The national parks would close or something like that. You'd still get your Social Security check. You'd still get your Medicare. All that stuff would still end up being processed because there are still mandatory checks that would go out under American law. With that said, the debt ceiling fight is now going to be blamed if the economy goes south. So Republicans had better be very careful here. When the Democrats were in charge of all three branches of the elected government, when they ran the House, the Senate, and the presidency, when the economy goes into the tank, it's Democrats who get blamed. When Republicans are in charge of the House, the media look for somebody else to blame, and that's precisely what is happening right here. That is what is going to happen over the debt ceiling. CNN's Christine Romans, who is a business reporter for CNN, she, again, is starting to lead off this narrative. Watch for it. It's going to be the popular narrative in the Democratic left circles. In the media, the narrative is going to be that a soft landing was about to happen, and then the Republicans took over Congress, and lo and behold, the economy slowed. Now, it's not true. We've been seeing the economy slowing significantly over the course of the last year. We've seen the inflation rates running out of control. That was all Democratic policymaking plus the Federal Reserve. However, Democrats will use any convenient excuse that they can. The convenient excuse now is that Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans just took over the House. Here is CNN's Christine Romans doing this routine.
How does this data support that?
This data fits right in with that picture, quite honestly. I mean, this shows you that the economy is strong but slowing a little bit from the quarter before. Shows the job market is still strong. Maybe, I'm guessing early this year it's going to start to show less strength than it used to, and that's what the Fed wants to see.
Right, that's what they want.
But I think, I mean, what I've been getting from my sources all morning is this all feeds into the soft landing camp. The most recent data all fits in the camp of people who think a soft landing is possible if Washington doesn't screw it up with the debt ceiling.
Notice that last part, right? That's the last part that matters, right? If Washington doesn't screw up with the debt ceiling, but they'll probably screw up with the debt ceiling, and then we can blame all of the Republicans for what is obviously bad economic policy on the part of the Democrats. Right? We had this thing handled, and then in came Kevin McCarthy and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they ruined everything. And so you're going to see the media play up the debt ceiling debate to extraordinary heights. They're going to claim, they always claim whenever there's a government shutdown that the end of the world is nigh. It never is. There's never a zombie apocalypse with the dead wandering the streets trying to eat brains or anything like that. Everything seems to sort of work normally, at least for a pretty significant period of time. But this is going to be a completely different thing. It's not just going to be that the zombie apocalypse is about to arrive. The economic catastrophe is going to be the fault of the Republicans for not increasing the debt ceiling if they don't do so in time. You can see Politico setting up this narrative as well. They have an entire piece by Adam Cancron and Eugene Daniels titled, "Veterans of the Obama Era Debt Ceiling Standoff on the Current One. We May Be Doomed." Quote, "The last time the U.S. found itself on the verge of a debt ceiling disaster, David Kamen had a front row seat to all the action. an economic advisor in the Obama White House, Kamen was among those charged with solving the 2011 standoff that rattled global markets, dented the economy, and led to an embarrassing downgrade of America's credit rating. The government narrowly averted a catastrophic default that year, striking a deal with just days to spare. But more than a decade later, with the nation deadlocked again over the debt ceiling, he fears the outcome this time could be far worse. Ah, the doom-mongering, the scare-mongering. We're all going to die. The economy is going to collapse, and it's going to be the fault of these guys who've been in power for approximately 32 seconds. We'll get some more on this in just 1 second. First, when did we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? Well, what's happening right now at the big tech companies is that very often they prevent you from seeing what you want to see, and then they take your data and they make money off of you. Why would you give your data to them so they can make money off of you and then restrict what you can see and hear? This is just one reason why I have been using ExpressVPN for years to protect my own data. If you ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, and everything you click on. By building a profile on you and then selling off your sensitive data, that's how they make their money. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, the software hides your IP address from third parties. That makes your activity more difficult for companies to trace and sell to advertisers. It helps keep your online presence more anonymous. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN is rated number one by TechRadar. So, stop allowing big tech to revoke your right to free speech and then make money off of you. Instead, secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get started. Kamen said, there's a potential for it to be very bad. By the way, this is, I love that they're quoting a top Biden staffer because this guy did act as a top Biden economic staffer before returning to academia last year. So they're literally just quoting spokespeople for the Biden administration to the effect that if things go south, it's the Republicans' fault. Quote, we're back here. There's a real risk to the economy on the line. Kamen isn't the only one struck by a foreboding sense of deja vu. From the White House to Wall Street, a growing number of veterans of the 2011 debt crisis are again watching a story of bluster and brinksmanship play out and are terrified this will be the time it ends with the country in financial ruin. David Vandeveer, who was a senior Treasury official during the 2011 negotiations and, of course, an Obama staffer, says, quote, it feels like there's a desire to get closer and closer to the brink. At a certain point, you don't know where the line is. The parallels to the Obama-era stalemate are clear as House Republican leaders vow to place restraints on a Democratic administration while also trying to manage their troublesome conservative wing. But unlike in 2011, Republicans are preparing to stare down the White House with no clear consensus on what they want in exchange for keeping the U.S. financial system afloat. Now, again, that is a tremendous rewriting of history. If you remember back to 2010, 2011, when we did this debt ceiling debate, the Republicans didn't know what they wanted, the Democrats didn't know what they wanted, and that is why they came up with sequestration. Sequestration was a deal between Republicans and Democrats that would essentially kick in essentially 1 year from the date of the deal that was made. And it said, we will try to find some erstwhile deal to cut spending here and cut spending there. And if that doesn't happen, cuts of a particular size will go into place and half of them will come from defense. And the idea there from Obama was the cuts will never go into place because Republicans will not want to cut defense. And the idea from Republicans was the cuts will never go into place because Obama doesn't want to cut. And instead, you had essentially a prisoner's dilemma in which both sides defaulted. And what you ended up with was sequestration, a massive cut to military spending, and a cut to the future rate of growth of other sorts of spending. So it wasn't as though things were like amazingly well negotiated in 2010, 2011. This time around, obviously, Kevin McCarthy dealing with a very fractious caucus. He has not yet come out with some sort of full list of the things he wants restructured. Some of the Republicans are saying that they want full-on entitlement restructuring. They want restructuring of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. That is not going to happen. You have a Democrat-controlled Senate. You have a Democrat president. It's not going to happen. Pick 10 things you guys think should get cut, 10 things the American people agree with you on, and then go after those 10 things. If you go for entitlement reform with a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president, that's political malpractice. I agree with you. It needs to be done. Also, it is running directly into a chainsaw. It is political malfeasance. However, again, the media are going to play this up because the worse this gets, the more they're going to be able to blame Republicans going into 2024. Dan Pfeiffer, a senior Obama aide during the 2011 showdown, said that of his entire time in the administration, he was never more scared than in the final days of the debt ceiling fight because it was very possible we were going over the cliff. And he says the similarities to now are obvious. A Democratic president unsure if the leader of the opposing party has the clout to get his conference on the same page. The White House at the time felt Boehner understood and took seriously the dangers of default. Pfeiffer says Boehner may have been willing to put more of his ass on the line. He did intellectually and substantively understand why default was terrible. I'm not sure McCarthy understands that McCarthy cares, that McCarthy would value the full faith and credit of the United States over his own job. Now, remember, this is all revisionist history. They hated John Boehner at the time. They were saying the exact same crap about John Boehner. This is the mode of the left. The mode of the left is the last Republican was amazing. The new guy, man, he's scary. He's super bad. And this is true in presidential politics. It's true in speakers of the House. It's true in former senators. All of them are horrible up until the point they leave office, at which point they become amazing. in comparison with the current guy. The current guy is just the worst. Okay, so realistically speaking, some deal will get cut when it comes to the debt ceiling. And Republicans should look for a deal to cut when it comes to the debt ceiling. I say this again, not because I want the increase in debt. I don't. It is because you're not going to get what you want with this political alignment as it currently is. And what you are going to do is you're going to hand an argument to the Democrats that a bad economy is not their fault, despite the fact that they control the elected branches of government except for the House. That it's instead the fault of these fractious Republicans who wanted to restructure entitlements, which you don't even want in the first place. So I am pleased to see that at the very least, Senator Joe Manchin is meeting with Speaker McCarthy to urge the House Republican leader to negotiate with Biden. Not because I'm on Manchin's side, but because if any deal is going to get cut here, Manchin's going to have to be a part of it. Democrats right now control the Senate. That means that if you are going to cut some sort of deal with the Senate to get past the debt ceiling, what you're going to have to do is go to Manchin and Sinema, presumably, and have them pressure the rest of the left to accept some sort of concessions. A source familiar with the meeting said Manchin encouraged McCarthy to negotiate with Biden to find a path forward that would avoid harming the American people. The source described the interaction as good and said no commitments were made. Manchin on Sunday called on the White House to negotiate with House Republicans over raising the debt limit, arguing it would be a mistake to expect Congress to authorize new federal borrowing authority without bipartisan talks. And Manchin is exactly right on this. By the way, this is also politically savvy by Manchin. He signed off on the bottom line of that giant boondoggle $1.7 trillion bill at the end of last year. Now he's going to have to run for re-election in West Virginia, a super Republican state, as a Democrat. Manchin said on State of the Union, on CNN, quote, "We have to negotiate. This is the democracy we have. We have a two-party system. We should be able to talk and find out what our differences are." This happens to be correct. So going to Manchin and having him broker something here would probably be the smartest political move. And it's fun. I understand it's fun for a lot of people in the commentary to talk about stand on principle, shut down the government. I'm just telling you, the predictable result of this is going to be that Democrats will vote with some Republicans to raise the debt ceiling, and then Joe Biden will blame all Republicans for the failure of the economy. This is what they are planning to do. I mean, Joe Biden is being obvious about this. I mean, Joe Biden is he's saying this openly. Giving Democrats what they want is usually a bad strategy. According to the New York Times, quote, "Biden hammers Republicans on the economy with eye on 2024. The president has found a welcome foil in a new conservative House majority and its tax and spending plans, sharpening a potential re-election message. Biden on Thursday assailed House Republicans over their tax and spending plans, including potential changes to popular retirement programs ahead of what is likely to be a run for re-election." By the way, if you want to talk about the political genius of Donald Trump, this actually was one area where Trump understood the tea leaves better than a lot of Republican leaders. Republican leaders, quite properly, are focused on the problem of entitlements. Donald Trump was like, "I'm not dealing with that." He said, "I understand that the American people, they say they want to lower spending, but they don't actually want to restructure entitlements, so I'm just not going to touch it." He happens to be politically correct about that. Not PC politically correct. He happens to be right on the merits that the politics of touching entitlements are very scary for Republicans. And the problem for Trump, obviously, is that once he was president, he should have used that power in order to restructure entitlements. But when he was running for president, it made a lot of sense not to actually talk about restructuring entitlements. Americans don't like to hear about that sort of stuff. In a speech in Springfield, Virginia, Biden sought to reframe the economic narrative away from the rapid price increases that have dogged much of his first 2 years in office and toward his stewardship of an economy that has churned out steady growth and strong job gains. Biden said, quote, "At the time I was sworn in, the pandemic was raging and the economy was reeling." And then he talks about how much money he spent and how he is building the economy again. Now, the economy is going to a weak place, which means the Republicans have a lot to run on come 2024. Stagnation is going to set in. The inflation rate, despite all of the happy talk, is still riding at well above 6% at this point. So it's not as though things have gone back to normal. And it's not as though even when they do go back to normal, we're going to have a booming economy. So Republicans will be able to run against Biden on the economy. Unless they hand him a bat to hit them with. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, when did we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? Well, what's happening right now at the big tech companies is that very often they prevent you from seeing what you want to see, and then they take your data and they make money off of you. Why would you give your data to them so they can make money off of you and then restrict what you can see and hear? There's just one reason why I have been using ExpressVPN for years to protect my own data. If you ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, and everything you click on. By building a profile on you, and then selling off your sensitive data, that's how they make their money. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, the software hides your IP address from third parties. That makes your activity more difficult for companies to trace and sell to advertisers. It helps keep your online presence more anonymous. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN is rated number one by TechRadar. So, stop allowing big tech to revoke your right to free speech and then make money off of you. Instead, secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get started. Alrighty, coming up, Donald Trump has been readmitted to Facebook. The Democrats, the media, they are reacting by cry cheering. I will explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support, as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Biden says that he is going to attack Republicans on curbing safety net spending and risking a government default by refusing to raise the federal borrowing limit without deep spending cuts. Why, he asked, would Americans give up the progress we've made for the chaos they are suggesting? He said, I will not let anyone use the full faith and credit of the United States as a bargaining chip, which is, of course, hilarious. The whole point that Republicans are making is that the future of the full faith and credit of the United States is reliant on us not having a $31 trillion national debt. By the way, it ain't going to be $31 trillion for long. We'll be at $40 trillion pretty soon. Our debt-to-GDP ratio will be extraordinary. We'll spend a significant chunk of the American budget every single year from here till the end of time paying off our national debt, just on the debt servicing. So when he says that he's for fiscal sanity, of course that's not true. But he does have the entire media on his side. And if Republicans shut this thing down without any hope of an actual victory, it's going to be a fairly large-scale mistake. Now, meanwhile, Democrats are reacting, I would say, rather interestingly to Donald Trump's reinstatement on Facebook. They're doing something that I would call cry cheering. By cry cheering, what I mean is they're pretending that they're very upset about it, but they're actually super happy about it. The reason they're cry cheering about it is because when they look at the polls, what they see is that Donald Trump runs fairly even with Joe Biden. There are a few sporadic polls that will show him beating Joe Biden, but overall, he tends to run weaker than Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis in Florida seems to be running better than Joe Biden. He's a much more disciplined candidate. He doesn't tweet odd things on Truth Social. He doesn't go out there and say things that provide fodder for the opposition. He didn't lose to a dead man in his basement, for example. And so a lot of Democrats are starting to play the same game they played in 2015, 2016. Now, they may be wrong, right? They may get exactly what they bargained for in 2015, 2016. You recall that in 2015, 2016, the left really elevated Trump. They really spent like billions of dollars worth of media time on Donald Trump, trying to elevate him in the primaries, thinking that Hillary would then defeat him. And of course, that turned out to be a horrible strategy. However, in the 2022 cycle, they actually did that again, and it worked. They elevated John Baldock in New Hampshire. They spent a bunch of money on him in New Hampshire. They elevated Herschel Walker in Georgia. They elevated like a bunch of actual Republican candidates they thought were Trumpier in significant races, Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. They did this in order to try to facilitate Democratic wins in those states, and it actually worked out for them. So now they are attempting to do the same thing with Donald Trump, and they've discovered the secret sauce. The secret sauce is the more they attack Trump, the more Republicans come to Trump's defense. But the reason that Democrats are cry-cheering over Trump's reinstatement to Facebook is twofold. One, they would like to see Trump be the nominee. Two, they make a boatload of money off of Donald Trump. And you're seeing them ramp it up because there are new polls showing that Trump is very vulnerable to DeSantis, for example. So there's a 2024 New Hampshire Republican primary poll. It's super early. DeSantis has not yet even declared for the presidency. If he's going to, it will probably be summer before he does. This new poll shows DeSantis up 42-30 over Trump in New Hampshire. If Trump loses New Hampshire, he's not winning the nomination. He won New Hampshire going away in 2016. In 2016, he won by 19 points in New Hampshire. It was one of his best states. So this means that Democrats have to mobilize, and they are beginning to mobilize with the cry cheering. They understand that if they attack Trump enough, then maybe it will generate support for him. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to some media reactions to the reinstatement of Donald Trump. They can barely keep a straight face on this one. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air. And we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years. And the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
It's a race against the clock as Savannah Sprunt Fairchild Honeycutt agrees to get her feisty mother-in-law from Alabama to California, all in time for her brother's wedding. The only problem? Mama Won't Fly. A comedy by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hoult, and Jamie Wooten. Directed by Jennifer Levins. January 27th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store Reading. Mama Won't Fly. January 27th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. With our annual programs last year, we were able to send over 400 packages around the world to active duty military personnel. Throughout 2022, you helped us provide services to over 3,500 senior veterans in need. We're grateful to everyone, from businesses, to the media, to all individuals. Please know that your donations are critical to the success of our mission. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. And as always, thank you for your support.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media have been losing money hand over fist since Donald Trump exited the political scene. They could not be more excited to see him return to Facebook, but they're going to pretend cry about it. So MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, she was talking about the reinstatement of Donald Trump on Facebook and saying, well, they're after the dollars. That's what they want. They want the dollars. Guys, you've talked about Donald Trump incessantly since 2015. It is now 2023. For the last 8 years, we've been talking about Donald Trump and raking it in because of it. Now you're going to say that Facebook is in it for the bucks? All right.
Facebook's looking for ways to get creative in their business because, let's be honest, as far as new users are going, they're getting their clocks cleaned by TikTok. So Facebook looking to say, yep, this is for democracy. We're going to put Donald Trump back on. It's going to drum up a lot of energy, a lot of focus, and hopefully for them, a lot of ad dollars. So make no mistake when they're talking about, well, this is about content moderation. Maybe it's the right thing to do. The almighty dollar is why both sides are keen for this.
They are so excited in MSNBC. Don't let them fool you. They love every second of this. This is the thing they want more than anything in life. Mika Brzezinski is doing this routine. Now, you'll recall that Mika and Joe joked their way through the primary process with Donald Trump in 2016. I mean, they had him on like every day. And they made him palatable to even some members of the left. They're really nice to him. And then they had kind of a fake fight. And then they got back together in December of 2016. And then after the election, Donald Trump was too crazy for them. They started ripping on him again. It's been a whole kind of interpersonal saga with Mika and Joe. Now Mika's saying there's no accountability. This is all about money. That's the only reason he's back on Facebook. You guys, we can see it. We can see how happy you are. We can see how you want to make money off of Trump. Trump is a money. He was right. Trump said this about you guys. He was like, I make money for you. You need me. Correct. He's absolutely right about that.
We think the risk to public safety has materially and significantly receded. But that is also the reason why we are introducing those additional guardrails to discourage him from breaking our rules going forward if he chooses to use Facebook and Instagram again.
I don't see any sign the risk has gone down. In fact, some of his posts on Truth Social are disgusting, racist. There's no change. So this is just about money. And also the fact that there's no accountability.
There's no accountability. You guys gave him like $1 billion in free media coverage in 2015, 2016. You're still on the air complaining about it. Yeah, man. The media, they are ecstatic about us. Mara Gay of the Washington Post says, I have a lot of concerns. You guys don't have concerns. You're full of it. It's kind of a win-win for you. You get to complain about Donald Trump being back, and then you get to cover Donald Trump being back, which makes you as happy as pie.
ultimately, these social media platforms don't, they're just not held to the same standards that news organizations are. And that is the central conflict, that is the central tension. I don't think that has gone away. I continue to believe, I have a lot of concerns about that. And, you know, look, Donald Trump's reaction was to mock them anyway.
Okay, so, you know, this is going to be fun to watch for the media. They will make more money off of this. Meanwhile, the person who they're really scared of is DeSantis, pretty obviously speaking. In sort of a fascinating development, Ron DeSantis has now called for a change at the RNC one day before the re-election vote for Ronna Romney McDaniel, who has now presided over three consecutive election losses for Republicans. She did poorly in 2018, in 2020, and in 2022. She is trying to run for re-election again. She's running against Harmeet Dhillon. Full disclosure, Harmeet Dhillon was our lawyer in our case that we filed against the Biden administration, suing them to remove the OSHA vax mandate. So I like Harmeet. I think Harmeet would make an excellent head of the RNC. Apparently, so does DeSantis. According to NBC News, in an interview with a conservative-leaning outlet in his home state, Florida's Voice, DeSantis spoke positively about McDaniel's top challenger, Harmeet Dhillon. He said, I think we need a change. I think we need to get some new blood in the RNC. I like what Harmeet has said about getting the RNC out of D.C. We need some fresh thinking. McDaniel has helmed the RNC since the beginning of Trump's term in the White House. While he endorsed for previous elections, this time Trump has stayed out of the race, telling Breitbart last year, I like them both, speaking of McDaniel and Dhillon. The incumbent is favored to win another term chairing the RNC, and there are a lot of questions about how much McDaniel is in, for example, Trump's corner. Is she going to bias the RNC process in favor of Donald Trump, considering that he was a big backer of her the first time around? McDaniel is currently touting the endorsements of more than 100 members ahead of Friday's votes. She needs support from 85 on a secret ballot to win another term. Dhillon right now has public support from at least 32 members of the committee. As I've said before, I don't think you get to lose this many elections consecutively and retain your job. It is sort of fascinating, however, to see the internal politics of the RNC. According to the New York Times, there has been some movement away from Donald Trump, even within the RNC, even among those who back Ronna Romney McDaniel. The 168 members of the RNC are gathering in Southern California to select their own leader on Friday. Interviews this week with 59 of them, more than one-third of the committee's membership, found few eager to crown Trump their nominee for a third term. While they praised his policies and accomplishments as president, many expressed deep concerns about his age, he's 76, temperament, and ability to win a general election, often in unusually blunt terms. Mack Brown, chairman of the Republican Party of Kentucky, said this isn't 2016, people have moved on. Jonathan Barnett, RNC member from Arkansas, who claims to have been the first member of the committee to endorse Trump's 2016 campaign, said the party would benefit from its nominee being forced to navigate a crowded primary field. Barnett said, I've been a supporter of Trump in the past. I just think we need choices this time. We've got to look at all of our options. Obviously, Trump was hoping to crowd out the field. That is very unlikely to happen. Already, Nikki Haley has made some pretty strong signals that she would like to run for president of the United States. Again, she was his UN ambassador, and she was a two-term governor of South Carolina, so she would be a strong candidate. Ron DeSantis is very likely to throw his hat into the ring. He's termed out as governor of Florida. He's done an excellent job there. He's extraordinarily popular in his home state, which is a swing state. He's very popular nationally as well. And you can see the media, they're ratcheting up the panic with regard to DeSantis in particular, because DeSantis is the one who's polling the best against Trump right now. So, for example, Don Lemon is turning that Spinal Tap speaker all the way up to 11. Here he was yesterday suggesting that Donald Trump, that Ron DeSantis and the rest of the Republicans across the nation, they're trying to ban books. It's like the 1950s again, said the gay black man on national television.
Another challenge brought up by one of the school board members, the definition of age appropriate. How do you define what is age appropriate in this vetting process? I reached out to the governor's office as well as the Department of Education with that very question, and we have not received a response.
I feel like we're going back. I feel like I'm watching a bad version of, like, Pleasantville, where I don't get what's happening. It feels like the 1950s all over again with, like, book banning. This is cancel culture from people who are, I guess they just want our kids to be ignorant and to control the teachers.
I love this stuff. I love it so much. So Don Lemon is a gay black man on national television complaining that we now live back in the 1950s. I've noticed that he's, for the third time, a gay black man on national television. If this were the 1950s, I have a feeling that would not be a thing that is happening right now. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape? Get your business the refund money. Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. Also, he seems pathologically incapable of understanding that you actually get to control what happens in the classroom, because free speech is not the chief issue in the classroom. What's taught to your kids is the chief issue in the classroom. That school libraries are not, in fact, free speech zones. You don't get to view pornography in the school library, for example. Dunleavy seems incapable of actually understanding any of that. But it's the panic level that really is the great indicator. So if people on the right are looking at who are the media actually panicked by, the answer is they're absolutely panicked over Ron DeSantis. And the reason for that is because DeSantis has been extraordinarily effective as governor of Florida. I can't stress it enough. I moved to Florida away from California. One of the reasons is politics. California has become a blue hellhole. Ron DeSantis' Florida is red as blood at this point. He won by 20 points. There is a supermajority of Republicans in the legislature. The entire Democratic Party in the state is in complete disarray, and he is winning battles one day at a time, is Governor DeSantis. By the way, the latest battle that he's winning right now is his plan. On Monday, he put out a plan to pass a teacher's bill of rights and spend an extra $200 million on teacher pay in the coming school year. So it's a two-pronged attack. One, he's going to break the teachers' unions, and two, he's going to pay the teachers more. That is just, it's good policymaking. If you want to draw good teachers, you pay them more. If you want to break the teachers' unions, you offer people the possibility of good pay for good work. That's what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida right now, and the left does not know how to counter. According to the Wall Street Journal, the funds will bring the total the state has spent on teacher salaries to more than $3 billion from 2020 to 2024. They're also lifting the minimum salary to more than $48,000, eighth highest among states, according to the NEA. Addressing a classroom in a Jacksonville school, the governor said the money would help ward off a teacher shortage. The nationwide average, he said, is three vacancies for every school. He said Florida has kept average openings to about half of that level. The plan devotes just as much attention to making sure teachers get the full benefit of their pay raise. It proposes a policy known as paycheck protection, which blocks the school from extracting members' dues on unions' behalf. So he's giving teachers back more money at the same time that he's fighting the teachers' unions. And he's actually forcing teachers to teach curricula that parents would like to see them teach. This has all been having a real impact on how teachers are actually teaching in the state of Florida. According to the Washington Post, quote, teachers are changing their lessons amid increasing scrutiny from parents and a raft of state laws and school policies that circumscribe lessons on race and gender, according to one of the first nationally representative studies of the subject. To which I say, good, you're doing a crap job. It's time for you to actually re-examine what you are teaching students in the classroom. I don't want your woke TikTok garbage being taught to small students. How about this? How about you actually consider what you're teaching and whether it is worthwhile being taught to students? It's so funny. You hear people on the left like, do you want teachers to be fearful in the classroom of saying things that might get them fired? Yes, that is exactly what I want. Everyone else is. It seems to me that when you are teaching the most vulnerable members of society, you should every day fear that you're going to teach them something that is wrong and incorrect. You should be the most careful people. It shouldn't be that the least careful people are in charge of classrooms. Of course you should feel like parents are looking over your shoulder. Of course you should. The parents are delegating their power to raise their child to you for this time in the day. That does not mean that you have irrevocable power. It does not mean that you get to throw overboard whatever you think the parents believe. That's not how any of that works. I'm so glad this is happening. Teachers should have in the back of their mind, am I violating the law? For example, the findings draw on data gathered during the latest American Instructional Resources Survey, which RAND has administered each spring since 2019. In the last iteration, RAND surveyed 8,000 educators on teaching English, math, and science, and analyzed 1,500 open-ended responses from teachers. The report says, our data suggests that limitations placed on how teachers can address contentious topics may be leading to consequences for teachers' working conditions and for student learning. Teachers described working in conditions filled with worry, anxiety, and even fear. Good. Good. I want you to be anxious. Before you put up the Black Lives Matter and the Pride Progress flag in your third grade classroom, I would like for you to think twice about that. I would like for you to be nervous about that. What I don't like is when my kid is nervous and anxious because they don't know what left-wing gobbledygook is going to be stuffed into their head by you. You're an authority figure, but that authority is absolutely removable. It is amazing to me that there are so many people who believe that the comfort of the teachers comes before the education of the students. The new report comes during intense political, cultural, and legislative battles over what students should learn about race, racism, U.S. history, gender, and sexual orientation at schools. A Washington Post analysis found that as of late 2022, legislators in 45 states have passed 64 laws across the past 3 years, restricting what teachers can say and children can do at school. Laws limiting instruction on race, racism, and history made up 28% of the total. 14 such pieces of legislation have passed in at least 18 states. Laws circumscribing instruction on gender identity, sexuality, and LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign issues accounted for 23% of the total, with 15 such laws having been passed in 8 states. At the same time, individual school districts have begun passing policies restricting education on similar topics, barring books by and about LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign, happy face emoji, sad face emoji, crying, laughing emoji, individuals and people of color, and increasing parental and administrative oversight of the titles chosen for public school libraries. Meanwhile, U.S. adults are losing their confidence in the public school system. Well, yes, that is why these restrictions are happening, and the restrictions are good. And it's been Ron DeSantis leading the way on that. Ron DeSantis is also leading the way in another contentious area. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But first, we all hope we'll never need life insurance, but the simple fact of the matter is that we are all going to die. And this means that probably at some point in the future, your family is going to need to make up for lost ground if, God forbid, you are taken too soon. Mortgage payments, childcare, other expenses, they don't just disappear after you die. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal information is private. I've got life insurance. You should have life insurance as well. It's the responsible thing to do. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty, coming up, there are more areas where Ron DeSantis is declaring a position in the culture war. These are smart fights. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
JastaBeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from JastaBeam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Ron DeSantis has declared culture wars on a bunch of fronts, and he's fought the good fight. He's doing it again with regard to the death penalty in the state of Florida. So you'll recall that the perpetrator in the Parkland massacre, school massacre, was not given the death penalty in Florida because 3 out of 12 jurors voted against the death penalty in that case. A lot of people were very angry about that. I was one of those people. It turns out that when you massacre school children, you don't deserve to be breathing the same air as the rest of us. Well, now Governor DeSantis has broached the possibility of changing state law to allow juries to impose the death penalty without unanimous agreement, suggesting that perhaps only 2/3 of 12 jurors need to vote in favor, which would put the number at 8. DeSantis, in a speech to the Florida Sheriff's Association on Monday, expressed disappointment in the Parkland school shooter being given life in prison. He said maybe 8 out of 12 have to agree or something. We can't be in a situation where one person can just derail this. His comments came as part of a discussion about what lawmakers may look at in the upcoming legislative session beginning March 7th. Now, remember, it would still take a unanimous verdict to find somebody guilty. You're just talking about the penalty that would be applied after the person is found guilty. Apparently, a lot of people on the left are very upset about all of this. I have trouble, I think, explaining why they are so upset about all of this. Florida's requirement for unanimous agreement on the death penalty is relatively recent. A 2016 U.S. Supreme Court ruling and a subsequent Florida Supreme Court ruling triggered Florida's move to a unanimous jury system. Before, Florida only required a majority, and judges had the power to override a jury's decision. So it wasn't as though it was unchecked. If a jury came to a decision for the death penalty, a judge could still step in and say no. The U.S. Supreme Court said Florida's capital sentencing gave too much power to judges over juries. So following that ruling, legislators in 2016 passed a bill requiring a 10-2 jury majority. The state Supreme Court said it was in violation of the state constitution because it was non-unanimous. The next year, legislators passed a bill requiring unanimous jury recommendations. That seemingly put the issue to rest until 2020, and that is when the Florida Supreme Court reversed that ruling from 4 years earlier and said unanimity was not, in fact, necessary, and that they had misinterpreted the earlier Supreme Court ruling. The court said a jury only had to be unanimous in agreement somebody was eligible for the death penalty, not whether they should be sentenced to death or not. So, again, a lot of people on the left are apparently mad about this. I have a hard time seeing why. When somebody commits a crime so egregious that 8 out of 12 people on a jury believe that you should die for it, all 12 agree that you're guilty, and now 8 out of 12 say you should die for it, it seems to me that a couple of activists on the jury should not be enough to overturn that particular verdict. Okay, meanwhile, controversy continues to percolate regarding the House Republicans attempting to boot Ilhan Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, as well as Representatives Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell from the House Intelligence Committee. As Mark Thiessen writes over at the Washington Post, McCarthy is 100% right to make this move. He says Omar is an anti-Semite who has no business serving on a committee that helps set policy toward Israel. Schiff and Swalwell are conspiracy theorists who abused their positions on the Intel Committee to falsely claim they had seen secret evidence that President Donald Trump conspired with Russia to steal the 2016 election, and that was why neither deserves access to our nation's secrets. That's putting aside the fact that Swalwell was apparently nailing a Chinese spy. In September 2021, Omar and her anti-Israel allies used a potential government shutdown to force Nancy Pelosi to remove $1 billion in funding for Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system from an emergency spending bill. The Iron Dome is purely defensive, which means that Omar basically just wanted to cut the ability of Israel to defend itself against missiles falling in civilian areas, which, by the way, is happening again right now. Israel, the other day, had to go into Jenin, which is a terrorist hotbed. They killed a bunch of terrorists. The world screamed and shouted. And now a bunch of missiles are apparently flying again into the center of Israel. Thank God for Iron Dome. Omar tried to defund that. That's just Ilhan Omar. Then there's Schiff and Swalwell. Schiff repeatedly claimed that his intel committee had unearthed plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy. He went on Meet the Press and said, quote, I can't go into the particulars, but there's more than circumstantial evidence. He assured ABC News that Trump's Russia conspiracy is, quote, of a size and scope probably beyond Watergate, which, of course, was a lie. Swalwell was even worse. In an interview with MSNBC, he was asked by Chris Matthews, that's what he's saying. Matthew said, do you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians? And Swalwell said, yes, I think there's more evidence that he is. And Swalwell, again, said yes. So him being deprived of a committee assignment makes perfect sense. Adam Schiff responded to the news that he might be removed from the Intel committee by going on the Chinese spy service TikTok to fundraise, which is a weird way to say that you want to be on the Intel committee. Here is Adam Schiff.
Hello, I'm Congressman Adam Schiff with some troubling news. Today, Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee, all for doing my job, for holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans. We knew it would be bad when the Republicans took over, but it's far worse than we expected. But I can promise you this, this is not the end of my fight for our democracy. This is just the beginning. Please join us and contribute today. Thank you.
He also linked this to a Senate campaign. Yes, there's only failing upwards in American politics. No one ever fails out of American politics. They just go away for a little while and then they return, ready to run for office again. Adam Schiff, according to the Washington Post, has now announced that he is running for the Senate in 2024, joining a growing field of Democrats who are seeking to replace Dianne Feinstein. She has not explicitly said she would run for re-election. That is because she is 1 million years old and no longer sentient, according to pretty much all sources. Schiff said, quote, we're in the fight of our lives for the future of this country. And so he announced that he is going to run for the Senate again. In his campaign announcement, he said, the fight for our democracy and working families is part of the same struggle. If our democracy isn't delivering for Americans, they'll look for alternatives, like a dangerous demagogue who promises that he alone can fix it. Schiff has been elected to Congress in 2000. He represented a large swath of the greater Los Angeles area, including the San Gabriel Valley. And, of course, he led the impeachment effort against Trump and lied to the press repeatedly about what he had and had not seen. Schiff joins Representative Katie Porter, 49, who, of course, announced her run this month. She is the person with the whiteboard who writes a bunch of stuff, and then people get super excited because she has a whiteboard. Barbara Lee also wants to run for the Senate seat as well. She is 76 years old, so she is more in line with the age that we expect of our nation's top leaders. It'll be fascinating to see which one of these dullards emerges from this race. All three of those candidates are terrible, by the way. I guess California has that to look forward to. Once again, I am very glad I no longer live in California. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Video showing five Memphis officers beating a black man has been made public. The release comes one day after the officers were charged with murder in the death of Tyree Nichols. The footage shows the black officer savagely beating the 29-year-old FedEx worker for 3 minutes. President Biden said he hoped Americans would heed the call of Tyree Nichols' mother to protest peacefully.
I was really pleased that she called for no peaceful protest, no violence, no movement at all.
Protests are underway in Memphis, Dallas, Atlanta, and New York City. The Memphis Police Department's Scorpion Street Crime Unit, short for Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace, is facing calls to disband after several members were involved in that traffic stop that resulted in the death of Tyree Nichols. The unit was created in 2021 to combat gang activity and car thefts. Between October 2021 and January 2022, Scorpion made 566 arrests, and of those, 390 were felony arrests. There were complaints about the group's aggressive tactics. Former Vice President Mike Pence is taking full responsibility after classified documents were found at his Indiana home.
Pence told a university audience that those classified documents should not have been in his personal residence, and despite what he thought was proper handling of sensitive material, mistakes were made. The former vice president said he hopes that people realize that he acted swiftly to correct the error. He said he had directed his counsel to work with the National Archives, Department of Justice, and Congress, and is pledging to fully cooperate in any investigation. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Officials say a Palestinian gunman killed 7 people and wounded 3 near a synagogue in East Jerusalem Friday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Ms. Prager here. Sue and I mean it. Dogs are part of our family. We love Otto and Snoopy so much. There's nothing quite like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens. In fact, I just talked to my wife about it because we want them to be healthy and we want them to be with us as long as possible. That's true. I know Sebastian Gorka feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. Our pups, Killian and Leia, rely on us to provide what's best for them. And naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens full of vitamins vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, omega oils, and more that supplement their food in a way that has shown us great results. Trying out Rough Greens is an easy yes, recommended by me, Dr. G.
Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black here, and I'm so proud that the Pragers and Sebastian Gorka have entrusted their dog's health to Rough Greens. I'm so confident that Rough Greens can help your dog, I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, your dog's food is dead food, but you can bring it back to life with Rough Greens. Go to RUFFGreens.com.
Cost-cutting and a hazy economic environment prompts a giant retailer to axe a Prime perk.
Amazon's pulling the plug on free grocery delivery for Prime members on orders less than $150 beginning February 28th. Customers who get groceries delivered from Amazon Fresh will be charged between $3.95 and $9.95, depending upon the order size. Currently, the company offers Prime members free grocery delivery on orders above $35, with the exception of New York, where it's $50. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is shooting down false Democrat claims that Republicans will cut entitlements in their negotiations over raising the debt ceiling. In an interview on Donald Trump Jr.'s podcast, McCarthy said Republicans will not touch Medicare or Social Security. He said earlier in the week that he wants to trim government spending unrelated to those programs. Democrats have called on them to raise the debt limit without conditions. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Nebraska congressman is pushing for more flexible funding for school choice programs. Bob Agnew reports from Capitol Hill.
Congressman Mike Flood told his colleagues this week that it's great students have options.
Public, private, homeschools.
But he says not all students have the financial means to opt out of the public school system for a better education. That's why he says,
I believe we should fund the students, not the systems.
Flood says when the money follows the students, families win in their fight to get their children the best education possible. Bye, New Capitol Hill.
The Biden administration says more than 16 million people were fully approved for a student loan forgiveness program. Some 26 million had applied or were automatically deemed eligible to have up to $20,000 of their federal student loans canceled. The program's currently on hold pending a Supreme Court decision on whether it can move forward. The High Court will hear oral arguments over the policy in late February. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
A new study suggests that Earth's inner core may have stopped turning and could go in reverse. Shouldn't have gotten the vaccine.
Isn't he clever? No, he's not. Welcome to Friday, or as we say in my house, Friday-luia to ya. Yes, it's Michael Pelka, wrapping up my fill-in for the Chris Plant Show. Chris returns on Monday. Let us take it to the weekend, shall we? There is a whole lot to cover today, and we'll try and get all of it in. Where do we begin? Well, I think we begin with the call for calm. I think that's a good idea. Yesterday, we reported that the five Memphis police officers had been arrested and charged with second-degree murder in the death of, I think it's Tyree Nichols is how he pronounces the name. And I'm hoping that the race hustlers will not get the better of cities.
tonight, as the video is scheduled to be released, the body cam video from the officers. Again, why did we get this body cam video pretty much immediately, and we're still begging and pleading and waiting for the Paul Pelosi body cam videos when the officers showed up at the Pelosi's house when he got hammered, not drunk, but hammered by an assailant who we all thought was somebody he knew because he told us he did. There is so much to get to. But it looks like the family of Mr. Nichols has made very public statements to the people gathered in Memphis saying protest, but protest peacefully. And that should be the target in every protest. That's what the First Amendment guarantees you. Doesn't guarantee you the right to burn stuff down. So I hope and I actually pray that there will be peaceful protests and nothing else. But when you get race hustlers involved, and trust me, they're going to show up everywhere in large cities with larger populations to stir things up. So I'm hoping that there will be peace at the end of all of this. I just don't like that they're timing this to release the video on a Friday evening. Why not do it during the daytime? Get it out there, and let's face it, these officers, all of them, black American officers, all of these cops, all five of them, charged with second-degree murder. It's not like this is being soft-pedaled. So I hope calm prevails. That's my hope, my dream. We have some amazing updates on stories we've been following all week, as well as some new stories. And I guess we made it through because last night there was an asteroid the size of a delivery truck, like a giant Amazon-sized delivery truck headed towards us, the planet, and it made it past us. I guess we had a close call, and we're all here. I didn't hear anything about a collision, and we certainly didn't take it out. We're also monitoring what I think is going to be an interesting 2024 election, because you know, Donald Trump is announced, right? And a lot of people assume that Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis of Florida, is going to announce. We've even heard that the guy I always refer to as the Lorax, you know who I'm talking about, John Bolton, former Ambassador John Bolton, who has kind of said that he would run, but he said he would run to prevent Trump from winning, which is almost laughable. But we're hearing Bolton has presidential hopes and dreams. Nikki Haley indicated last week that she has the ability to do the job and the interest. And I'm telling you, I think Mike Pompeo is setting up a run. It sure feels like it with his sudden recent very public appearances, as well as his massive weight loss. I'm glad he's healthy. And there may be others. You know, Mike Pence has also hinted. So are there other possible GOP candidates for 2024? There are reports that there's some reluctance on other GOP candidates to challenge Mr. Trump. The former president, of course, has a leg up on everybody, and he has announced. We shall see. Many people think they're waiting because today's the day that the vote happens for the RNC chairman. And Ronna McDaniel is, of course, running again, and Harmeet Dillon is running. I'm not sure if anyone else is running. Is Mike Lindell the pillow guy? I don't think that would, just personally, you know, I like his products. I think he's trying to be a good businessman. I'm not sure he's the guy I want at the head of the RNC. But if you feel differently, if you have either a suggested Republican possible candidate and an RNC candidate, or you want to weigh in on any of the topics, you're welcome to 888-630-9625. We're going to dive into a follow-up on yesterday's story with the release of the video from Project Veritas that showed an executive from Pfizer claiming that the company was in gain-of-function research. And if you were here yesterday and you heard me go through the breakdown of the clips and what this guy was saying, I also questioned whether or not this was real. I questioned whether or not this was some kind of a date where the guy who was wearing the fake camera was setting this guy up. And oddly enough, you'll hear it from the man's mouth. He actually claims that, yeah, that's what was going on. He was trying to impress somebody. He was on a date. And he was lying, because that's what you do on a date. No, that's not what everybody does on a date. Yeah, you put on your best appearance, your best look, and you try and highlight your positives. But why would you lie? Why would you lie about gain-of-function research that now we're almost 3 years from learning that this was a man-made virus? 3 years ago, Fauci knew. 3 years ago, next Tuesday, he got the email saying, this looks man-made. Why would you lie about it? Well, I guess to protect your cushy job. But it seems weird to do that on a date. Really weird. But I've got clips from the encounter between James O'Keefe and the person from Pfizer. It was really bizarre. Some very bizarre moments in what looks like a lower Manhattan pizza parlor, maybe kind of a coffee shop, in one of those trendy Lower East Side neighborhoods. We will dive into that as well. The mayor of New York has a problem with fairness. Yeah, he doesn't think he's being treated fairly. And, gosh, so many stories. Joe Biden was out speechifying yesterday. He also held forth at the White House yesterday with some guests, and I guess they were marking the Lunar New Year because there was a dragon dancing in the place where they were gathering. And it was really kind of bizarre that Joey kept getting surprised by the dragon. When the dragon made a move, he looked like he was... It's getting more and more appearing that he's like a small child that you've taken to the circus, and everything that happens is a surprise for him. So we'll get into that. Joe also took a victory lap on the border, and we have the facts on that. And then there is a really bizarre story from a comedian, a very famous comedian, Louis C.K., a guy who's been in and out of hot water on a regular basis, but he appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast and has a bizarre statement about America and the borders and what he thinks about America. And at the same time, another comedian, because I call Bill Maher a comedian, I don't see him as anything other than a comic who's got a show where he invites people to talk so he can get to the points he wants to make. He's a liberal who has suddenly realized that the Democratic Party of the country has been overtaken by absolutely crazy, out-of-their-minds liberals and pushed us so far left that he's worried about his ability to make the millions he's made and keep it. And he has said some very interesting things about pronouns and had a guest on his show who happens to be a gay man who has a very common sense approach to the indoctrination that we're witnessing with children and the pronoun madness. So we'll share that with you. I'm kind of lifted by that. You know, just when you think it's all going down the swirling drain, the water is swirling into the drain, you hear something from a person you would expect to support the LGBTQ or STVU madness, to say, no, this isn't the right thing. So we'll get to that. So that is that's a fascinating story. And if you weren't here yesterday, I might get an update today on the story. Late yesterday, we had a story about Fireball, which if you go into a liquor store and you buy Fireball whiskey, I guess it's flavored whiskey, like hot and spicy, cinnamon whiskey. But there are little teeny tiny bottles that are available in a lot of places. They look like they're airport bottles. And there is now a gigantic lawsuit against the company because there's apparently no whiskey in there. People are being hoodwinked. But there may be an update on this. So we'll find out if there's a settlement or something coming. But there is a broad spectrum of topics available today. As I said, Joe said some really dumb things when he was speechifying yesterday. There are no updates when it comes to whether or not we're going to get Hunter Biden's banking records because the Treasury basically told the GOP's request to see what they've got on Hunter Biden and his banking records that they can pound sand. And there's bipartisan outrage. Yes, bipartisan outrage in the Senate over the fact that we don't get to see or understand, they don't get to see or understand what stories, what subjects are covered in the classified documents found at Joe Biden's house or houses or offices. And now the other report is that the archives are asking every living ex-president and vice president to look through all their stuff. Just check all your stuff, see if you got anything that's, you know, you shouldn't have, and give us a holler. Maybe do that. But it's a busy day, and I anticipate, just like yesterday, the phones are going to be busy. Let us bounce quickly, because I can get a call in here. Let's talk to Valerie in Virginia. Hello, Valerie. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
How you doing? I just want to make it quick. You mentioned Mike Lindell. I say yes. I'm sorry. I know you disagree. But he's very passionate about this country. One thing, I doubt that he would ever misuse any funds. And he's a great marketer. He's we got to get people listening. And I know that he's long-winded but he is definitely got it in his heart. And we need somebody we can trust. I definitely trust that man.
Now, Valerie, I love the fact that you can disagree without being disagreeable. Number one, that's really important. We need that. Number two, I agree with you that Michael Lindell is a great marketer. But I will tell you, just because someone says and I think he does have passion for this country in his heart, there are people on the far left who are very passionate about America who I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw them. And they say they love this country and they want to change it. So I think Michael Lindell, I agree with you 100% on the marketing. And I believe he believes in the capitalist system. I just don't know if he's got enough broad appeal to be the RNC
leader.
Yeah,
that might be it.
Sorry?
You mean winning the vote, broad appeal. I think that once, he gets going in there, possibly, I buy the products too from Mitolo and I tell you, I love all of it. And he says it's good stuff and it's good stuff. But, I just trust him. But,
okay. Well, that's the greatest thing about this country. We have the ability to have varied opinions and not get locked in a gulag like you see in some other countries. But thanks for being the first caller. Let me be the first one to tell you Friday Luya to you. So let's celebrate the weekend is upon us. I'm going to take a break. When we get back, yes, more calls. And the guy who kept telling us he was going to bring the country together just keeps trying to drive a wedge between all of us. And every time I see it, I'm going to point it out. Plus, Jane Fonda has figured out climate change. I'm not kidding. I'll share it with you. I've got the receipts. It's absolutely insane. Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Heating bills are rising by 50 to 200% this winter, but a powerful heating technology used by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater is already helping thousands of people save money on their heating bills. At Eden Pure, an advanced heating engineer team has combined an infrared heating system and a convective heating system into one space heater. These two technologies work together to heat a home better than your current furnace, boiler, baseboard heat, and other space heaters. By using these two forms of heating technology to heat a room, the Gen 40 heater makes you feel warmer and reduces your heating bills. Never be cold again and save money month after month with Eden Pure. Right now, you can get an additional $50 off the Gen 40's sale price with my discount code. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com, enter the discount code CHRIS50. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code CHRIS50, and that gets you free shipping, too.
We expect our information in real time. U.S. Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. U.S. Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. So call 800-730-8405 today for a free insurance and Medicare benefits check. As easy as, that's 800-730-8405.
At Staples, you can count on every project being print perfect, guaranteed.
I need presentations and brochures printed, and they have to be perfect.
Your bounded presentations, brochures with the finest folds, and more will be done right every time. That's our print big promise. Now at Staples, get $10 off your document printing and marketing materials order of $50 or more, plus 20% back by a store bonus. Try Staples and see the difference. Ends 2/25. Rewards members only. Bonus must be redeemed in store. See staples.com/stores/printbig for details.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor or outdoor, repair or redesign, and we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Welcome to Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for Chris. He returns Monday from his vacation and will regale you with incredible stories of his experiences so far away from this place it makes me shiver. And probably made him shiver, too. I have had a fantastic time being here, and I'm going to try and regale you with my own stories from news of the day. I have a Gavin Newsom story that I will get to. But Mark in Independence, Missouri is on hold, and I didn't want to keep you holding too long, Mark. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Mike. I agree with the previous caller. I support Mike Lindell. Ron McDaniel is basically a disaster. She's lost election after election. I know the Republicans won the Congress, and McCarthy and the guys are doing a solid job, but Republican Party overall with McConnell needs to be shaken up, and McDaniel is a Romney. They're just establishment. Nothing's going to change. McConnell's going to keep raising the debt ceiling and doing other things like that to just go along to get along. They aren't even an opposition party, and we need the Republican Party to be a strong opposition party. And Ron McDaniel doesn't even acknowledge that there might be voter fraud, like in Arizona or anything like that. She makes fun of Carrie Lake and things like that.
Okay, Mark, you're leaving out, there's a giant hole here. No one's talking about Harmy Dillon, the other option.
Well, she's good. She should be decent, I think. Well, she's better than Ron McDaniel. But the Republican Party base or power is MAGA. You can get 60,000 people showing up at a Trump rally. And but people like McConnell want to shut them down. I don't know what Harmy Dillon thinks about them.
Well, I will tell you this, because we're out of time. There's a report out today that Donald Trump is quietly backing Ronna McDaniel. Isn't that interesting? We'll see if we can give you more details. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Brian Markham, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living.
One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome to the Chris Plant Show. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris. I have to say thanks to so many of you who have been populating my social media pages and commenting, joining the conversation that way, and also supporting or critiquing my performance this past 2 weeks. It has been fun getting to know some of you. So thank you, Space for Nothing. During the break, I also noticed we had some responses from folks regarding the RNC chair position, which is up for a vote today. And it's Ronna McDaniel, it is Harmeet Dillon, and I think it's Mike Lindell that are all possibles. And my personal choice isn't Ronna McDaniel. I think she's got some serious strikes against her. And while I like the marketing skills of Mike Lindell, I'm going to say this, it might harm or my reputation with some of you. I think his reputation was damaged during some of the wildness that happened after the election, and I think he may have hurt his chances for broader appeal. He's a great marketer, brilliant guy. His products, wonderful. I love his passion for the country. He's a man of faith, and I just wonder if Harmeet Dillon might not be a better option. That's my opinion, though. And Real Nagy on Twitter, I love Twitter names. Real Nagy said he or she, I don't know where they stand, agrees with the last two callers because the last caller's right. Republican base is a MAGA movement and a MAGA movement base that is more than Trump. He just showed us what can be done and who is not for the people. That's a really good statement. I believe your name is Aaron. It's a really good statement, Real Nagy. And it is something I was actually having dinner with a kind of a middle-of-the-road, slightly left-leaning friend last night, and he was saying, hey, do you think Trump's going to run? I said, well, he's already declared, so he's running. And then we talked about the policies compared to the current policies and what we're seeing, the difference in inflation and gas prices and our national security as well as global security. And, you know, the Trump policies vastly differ from the Biden policies, which some people say are still the Obama policies. And so I loved the ideas and the policies of the Trump administration, especially reducing the government oversight of everything. What Donald Trump said, for every regulation we put in, we have to take out two. Oh, God, if they would only do that with spending, can you imagine? I saw Larry Kudlow melting down the other day because nobody, and I mean nobody, could get on board with even cutting a penny from our budget, every dollar in our budget. A penny, think about that. Just one penny out of every dollar we spend, and we'd be in a much better place. We're currently now, according to the, I think it's the CBO estimate, we're about 10 years away from possibly defaulting on Social Security. If we do nothing, and if we keep spending like we are, and that seems to be the idea. That seems to be the idea of the Democrats. So we'll see what's going on. I said earlier there's a report out today that Donald Trump might be quietly supporting Ronna McDaniel for re-election, and that appears to tie into the fact that Mr. Trump needs the RNC to support him. So the two may be connected. We'll get more on that. Yesterday, I was sent a clip from the official tweet of Gavin Newsom, the official Twitter account of Gavin Newsom, governor of California, and no doubt 2024 Democrat presidential hopeful. Newsom is trying to gin up energy to get more gun confiscations on the agenda in California. They want to take away guns. They just don't want to regulate them. Gun laws in California, strictest in the nation, probably give Chicago a little run for its money, maybe trying to push ahead of Chicago. But with the last two mass shootings in California, the one happening in the Asian club on Lunar New Year celebration night, and then at the mushroom farm, which some people are saying, no, it's not a mushroom farm, it's a pot farm, that was also an Asian community. And now we learned that the person accused of shooting the people in the mass shooting, the second one in California, they happened a day apart, so 3 days, two shootings, a lot of people dead. That guy was not in this country legally. How did he get a gun? How did that happen, Gavin Newsom? It's on your watch. As far as I'm concerned, the people who were shot and killed, well, that blood's on you. It's not on anyone who follows the Second Amendment and does what's legally required to own a firearm. No. No, it's on you. But I saw this clip, and it made me do a little research yesterday. This was Gavin Newsom on his Twitter account yesterday. More than 250,000 people have seen this.
The number one death for children last year was gun-related, and you didn't do a damn thing. Congress is sitting on its butt. You've got politicians that are banning not assault rifles, but the word Latinx. They're not even serious. AP courses for deeper understanding. What is going on in this country?
I'll tell you what's going on in this country. Now the outrage of what's killing children has gotten the attention of the Democrats. And what do I mean by that? Gavin Newsom says the number one killer of children in this country is firearms. And based on the stats that were released in 2020, because those are the most recent statistics we have, that's true. The number one killer of people in this country, 1 to 18 years old, in 2020 was firearms. But for 20 years prior to that, two full decades prior to that, that's not the case. And the Democrats and Gavin Newsom did nothing about the cause of death, the top cause of death of children in this country. Didn't do anything that I know. No one was standing on the corner going, this is killing more children than anything else, and something must be done. You want to guess what it is? It's been the number one killer of children for a long time. It's cars. Automobiles. And, you know, for years and years and years, we have had automobiles killing people in this country at an alarming rate. And we didn't take them away. We worked on making them safer. And that's what happened. But, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. That is the mantra. Remember, that was Rahm Emanuel's mantra. Never let a crisis go to waste. So let's jump on two mass shootings, which happened Asian-on-Asian crime, one of which featured an illegal immigrant who somehow, in the state where it's the hardest state in the country to get a firearm, got a firearm and then turned it on people that he was working with. Astounding to me. So let's walk the streets with Nora O'Donnell from CBS and say that the Second Amendment is a suicide pact. And then walk out and say, well, the GOP's banning Latinx or Latinx. Well, nobody in the Latin community likes the word. It's a stupid idea. I think one governor said, I don't want to see it in official paperwork. One governor. And then as relates to the twisted history courses that are being outlawed in Florida, good. Let's get the America-hating courses out. And let's get just the truth out there. So, Governor, you can try and latch on to something because it's convenient, but it really is offensive to those of us who actually choose to understand what's going on in our country, those of us who actually read the stories. This story broke late yesterday, too. Adam Schiff has announced he's going to run for the Senate, you know, because Feinstein, she doesn't know where she is. I mean, she has less cognitive ability than Joe Biden at this point. And Adam Schiff, knowing that he's persona non grata in the House, figures he can run for the Senate. And he's trolling Kevin McCarthy by posting a tweet saying, Kevin, I'm running to be your senator. He's not good at trolling. And I hope he is defeated soundly. But he put out an announcement yesterday. So all of the fundraising he's doing, based on the fact that he has been denied a position on the Intelligence Committee, which is absolutely perfect, he's going to take all that money and use it to run for the Senate. I hope California can turn things around and get a real GOP senator in there at some time. We shall see. I also mentioned New York City Mayor Eric Adams, the guy who actually went to the border. So in terms of Democrats going and visiting the border, the person in charge of the border, Kamala Harris, hasn't done it. Joe Biden kind of went to the border. He went to El Paso, and he was there for just about 3 hours, took some campaign shots in front of the wall with a couple of border agents, walked through a neighborhood where there is basically no homeless when the week before it was filled with homeless. So it's a completely sanitized photo shoot. Eric Adams actually went down to the border. So I have to give him credit for that. He did it. He showed up. He saw it. And he then has become the media darling. And he was on MSNBC. And he's, though, calling what's happening with the busloads of immigrants being sent to big cities like New York and Chicago and Boston and Philadelphia. He's calling that whole thing unfair. It's unfair to send those people here. How fair is it to the people along the Rio Grande, in the Rio Grande Valley, along the border of McAllen, Texas, way down at the poorest county in the country, which has been overrun because the border is wide open, even though Joe Biden was doing a victory lap yesterday? Here's Mayor Adams talking about the unfairness.
How serious is the crisis at the border, and what pressures are putting on you as a mayor of New York City?
Well, I believe that when I took the trip to the El Paso, you could see firsthand the impact of how it not only harmed the foundation of El Paso, but look at Chicago, Houston, Washington, New York City. This is just unfair for cities to carry the weight of a national problem. We're going to open four more hotels, emergency hotels. We have to open HERCs. This is a major financial impact on New York City and cities across this country.
So suddenly, because you're actually having to deal with the crisis because it's on your front door, you're calling it a crisis. And you're saying it's unfair. And here's a little tip after last month's record-breaking statistics at the border. You know what would kind of tamp down all of that? Closing the border. That would be a great idea. I'm using the whisper because Joe used it yesterday. I'll play it for you. He brought out the whisper yesterday, the creepy whisper. Close the border. When we get back, I'm going to play a piece for you from a comedian. He's a funny guy on occasion, but he also is dead wrong on the country, and he's clueless, and he just proved it. Louis C.K. saying maybe the dumbest thing I've heard about the border. And I've heard a lot of dumb things about the border. You want to join the conversation, you are welcome to. 888-630-9625 is the number. This is the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka. And a celebratory Friday-luia to you.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is so frustrating. But here's some great news. If you miss the December 7th deadline for open enrollment, it's not too late. Here's something that can really help. It's MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It's people who encourage and pray for each other, too. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. Plus, it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. So worth looking into. MediShare 65 Plus is open for enrollment. And if you join right now, before January 31st, your second month will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 844-SHARE-65. That's 844-SHARE-65. 844-SHARE-65.
They say they'll get your biggest tax refund. Jackson Hewitt says your biggest tax refund guaranteed and a chance to double your tax refund. Thousands in weekly prizes during the Double Your Refund sweepstakes. Your biggest refund times two, twice the money. So forget about them. File your taxes on the double at Jackson Hewitt today. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal tax return. Promotion ends 4/2/23. Visit JacksonHewitt.com for rules.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
At the YMCA, finding your why starts by making an impact together, touching lives for the better. It can be the gift of time or treasure, supporting a community through talent without measure. Here, compassion fuels commitment, finding fulfillment through enrichment, serving and improving. What a way to live, and what a gift it is to give. Find your why and get involved today at YMCA.org for a better us.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, call Oasis Financial today at 877-266-9107. It takes just 3 minutes to apply, and once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right, get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So call Oasis today to see if you qualify at 877-266-9107. That's 877-266-9107.
Better days are today. Get the cash you need with Oasis.
Call Oasis today at 877-266-9107. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
Welcome to it, Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for Chris. He returns Monday. I know that makes many of you happy. Me too. This is a lot of work. I love it, and I appreciate the opportunity. But you guys, you make me work hard, and I appreciate that as well. I mentioned the border because yesterday Joe Biden took a victory lap, saying, you know, basically, the border's pretty much under control. I'll get the exact details for you. And then I remember I had watched the podcast, the Joe Rogan podcast, and he had comic Louis C.K. on. And Louis C.K., a smart guy. He's kind of creepy. You know, we learned some of his predilections during the Me Too explosion. But he survived it, and he's come back, and he's doing comedy again. And I think you should stick to comedy and not to border policy.
But my feeling is they should open it, the border, and just let them pour in, let everybody pour in, and then the answer, which is, well, then there will be all these problems. Yes, there should be. It shouldn't be so great here.
Wait, what? You live in the greatest country in the world, and you're saying it shouldn't be so great here? It shouldn't be. We should open the borders to make everything worse. I wonder if his doors are unlocked. I wonder. I really wonder that. I should let him continue.
Is what I'm saying. In America, it shouldn't be. It's a weird thing to sequester a certain group of people and try to keep upping their lifespan and their lifestyle.
So he has problems with a nation being sovereign, and then in that sovereign nation, he has problems with the government and the people trying to make the place better. I guess he thinks until everybody's equal. And again, I wonder if Louis will give up flying first class, if he will open the doors to his home and let everybody inside. Now, we're the problem. Why is it always when you get to a liberal that America's the problem? Our success is a problem. Is it they feel guilty about their own success? It is so ignorant to me. But I guess it makes them feel better. Speaking of feeling better, I just saw that this call popped in, and I feel it important that I take this call. Let's bounce over to Wilmington, North Carolina, and say hello to Monty. Monty, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today, buddy?
You know, it's a Friday, so who can be angry with a Friday, right?
Good point. I like that.
Thank you.
Mike, I really wanted to call. I really enjoy when I catch you on the radio. I'm not on here every day, but when I do catch you, I really enjoy it. I think you're the perfect blend of entertaining and informative. There are other hosts that are either one or the other. And there are some that are really entertaining, some that are very informative. You have a good blend of both. And I feel like when I listen to your show, I enjoy myself, but I also come across with bringing something with me, some point of knowledge or some different perspective. So I really enjoy your blend there. But I will have to say this. I haven't heard any Woke Olympics this week. I don't know if I've missed them or not, but that's one of my favorite things. I missed because I don't listen to the entire show. I catch a lot of blurbs, a lot of bits.
Okay. Well, there are some Woke Olympics. We handed out some ribbons earlier this week. There are some examples today.
That's one of my favorite. Perhaps I missed it. But
that's okay.
I want to get to one more thing, though. Somebody said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. And I think the Republican Party is caught, for the most part, mostly the Senate, in that rhythm. We keep treating the Democrats, we're trying to bargain, we're trying to be fair. And then as soon as the bell rings, they hit us below the belt. And then the next round, we try and be polite. We try and negotiate, and we try to present ourselves.
Monty, I got to cut you off because we're up against the wall, but you're right. And I think it was Einstein who made that statement. And we need to learn.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.